You're listening to the Boxing Coalition.
And it just broke the guy's heart. The guy had nothing left, and he knew he couldn't last another 4 or 5 rounds.
Ricky Boss just smashed his soul.
Put it in, let's get it.
Fuck that, get your cat, nigga. You hear
let's
me?
Let's get it!
Go kick his motherfucker!
Get that motherfucker in!
Let's see if you do this. Little step back, bang, bang, bang. Little step back, bang, bang.
Bang, bang, bang. Bang, bang, bang. Try and stop it. Bang, bang. Here I come. Bang. You want to throw sometime? Bang.
Body shot. Boom, 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 boom. Go to the body. Kill that body. You took his nuts, now you got to take his heart.
Yeah, take his whole soul away.
Gail, get out of here, Gail. I'll see you later. Body still looks incredible.
He was higher than a motherfucker. I'll tell you, he was stoned as fuck.
No, it's only a majority decision if there was an even score. There's no even score here. You're an official, right? You're an official of the state. Well, then you don't understand how to score.
Oh, my God!
Unbelievable! The crowd here on
Fuego. He's ready to be whooped, man. He's ready to be whooped. He's ready to be whooped.
But you really liked to stand toe-to-toe with him in the 12th round, even if you thought you won the fight.
It was on.
Did you like that? I love you.
Hi, guys, and welcome to a very overdue episode of the Boxing Coalition. My name is Cam. Joining me tonight, we have Kimo and Daniel Lim. Hope you guys are well. A lot to cover. Many fights, so I think we should just go deep into it, Kimo. Kick us off with the most recent, I guess. This past weekend, we had Gervonta Davis versus Leo Santa Cruz. I know you're interested to hear my opinion as you spoke to me during the week, but initially, what was your opinion of the fight?
Oh, Cam, it's good to be back, man. And like you said, many, many actions and many drama to discuss. Dude, it was a good fight, and it was a shootout. I really enjoyed it. It had a little bit of a Canelo Josecito type of vibe where, you know, the bigger guy was just walking the other one down, throwing a fuckload of punches. But I was sort of impressed with Leo Santa Cruz. I know Lims is probably going to shit on his fucking traditional, like, high guard and that little, you know, that little wrist flick that he does. But he threw a lot of punches quite accurately. He tagged Gervonta a lot of times. I saw him go to the body as well, which was nice to see, like he always does. And even though he was clearly outgunned, I respect the fact that he was sort of like standing with him, and he gave him a run for his money quite a lot of times. But you could easily see that the punches of Santa Cruz just weren't having enough impact. But at the end of the fight, you could clearly see like Gervonta's face, like he got touched up a little bit, man, which is good to see, finally. You know, like, he's not fighting a complete fucking bum like he's been doing so in the past, right? So, I enjoyed it. It was a good action-packed fight. The knockout was, I mean, savage. Absolutely savage. He just fucking flattened him. I saw some great memes come by as well of, like, Santa Cruz smiling as he was unconscious. Even after he got up, should be laughing, but even after he got up, he was kind of like, just like had this goofy smile on his face. Like, oh, what happened? You know, like, he's a jolly guy, man. He gave us a good scrap and, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it, man. But, I definitely think that from a technical standpoint, Gervonta showed some flaws. Now at the same time, he was extremely aggressive, so I don't really blame him for getting touched up, right? It's that everlasting discussion that we always have about quote-unquote slick boxers never getting hit. Well, that's because you're fighting passively, right? Gervonta was just barging forward, throwing a fuckload of body punches. It was just fun to see. I'm not a huge fan of the guy, but his in-ring activity is really fun to watch. So, yeah. What were your thoughts, Cam?
As you know, initially, I didn't really like the fight when it got made. I just feel that Gervonta has brought up people from either featherweight or even lower too many times. It's like he wants to be proven as one of the great fighters of the sport, but he's not really fighting full-fledged 130-pounders or 135-pounders. So initially, I didn't really like the fight because as Leo's kind of gone up in weight class, he's never really shown power as he did at like Bantam and Super Bantam. And I just thought it was a safe fight for Team Davis, knowing that this guy's not really going to be able to hurt you. And I was surprised how competitive it was. I thought it would have been a bit easier for Javante. Obviously, we know Leo has got the high output, but I was interested to see how he fought because against Frampton in the second fight, he let Frampton come to him and fought more off the back foot rather than leading. And I thought the same would apply here, but I didn't think he'd be able to hang with Davis. I think Davis would just overwhelm him. And at the end, obviously, he did. But until that point, I thought Leo did pretty good against Javante. And like you said, I think it kind of shown a few flaws in Javante's style. But yeah, that knockout, ridiculous, man. And I was speaking to Lim on the weekend, and at one point I actually thought Leo might have fucking died, man. Like, until I saw his chest moving and I saw him breathing, like, I sighed a bit of a relief. But until that point, it was a bit scary, man, because it was vicious, and he just got too greedy with the right hand. He threw a decent right hand that caught Davis. He threw his second one, which Davis kind of avoided, and the third one just got slipped to the left, and it was almost like a bolo punch uppercut. Like, it was a really long round one. He really loaded up on it, and it was right on the button, and good night, man. It was impressive. What did you think, Limmy?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun fight to watch. I've always liked Javante. I always have a soft spot for people who are really, really talented, especially in boxing. So these younger crop of fighters who have the talent, like my boy Teofimo and Javante, I'm a big fan. Just from an athletic standpoint, I prefer fighters like that. I've never been that big of a fan of the traditional Mexican style of fighting, which Leo is kind of the embodiment of. But one point is, Leo's never been a power puncher, even at the lower weight classes. So I don't think coming into this fight, I didn't think his power was going to have any kind of impact at all. I mean, he's always been known as a volume puncher, and he was doing a good job of that. But Javante is just a better fighter, regardless of weight classes. It doesn't excuse the fact that he brings up fighters, but even if they were both similarly sized, Javante would still beat Leo because he's just a better fighter.
Well, one thing about Leo, what I wanted him to do a bit more is just be a bit more of a nuisance in there with his long arms, right? Like, that's what I've noticed, you know, what he did versus Frampton, for example, is it wasn't necessarily that big of an output, but here he really sort of sold out. Once he got tagged on the chin a few times, he just started going to war with somebody who's a bigger puncher, probably better chin and slightly better timing as we saw. So that was disappointing. But I really liked his offense, man. I thought he had a good jab a lot of times. I find myself actually realizing that I underrated this guy a little bit, because when Santa Cruz lets his hands go, it's actually quite exciting to watch, man. He throws some fucking nice combinations, and he's got good body punches as well for such a lanky bastard. But I don't know, man. He was just outgunned. I don't know if he would have been able to keep Javante off of him regardless. But yeah, if I was hoping he would just be a little bit more focused on the jab and not try to trade with him as much, because that knockout when it came, to be honest, I was kind of fearing it already, because during the exchanges, which there were a lot of, you're just kind of like pulling back with your head as you're watching it, right? Like, oh shit, if one of these counters lands perfect, like it's going to be a good night, Irene. And when it happened, it was obviously a hellacious uppercut, but you kind of felt a moment like this coming, because every time Javante would tag Leo clean, you could just see the impact. You could feel it. He would like fall backwards and stumble a little bit. And when Leo would fire off a beautiful combo, yeah, it would look great. But then you know, Gervonta would just barge forward again. Like it's, there was a clear mismatch in power, and whether that's due to size, whatever, like at the end of the day, we both
know who the bigger puncher. It's size, and he's never been a big puncher. He has 37 wins, and he has 19 knockouts. Even at the lower weight classes, he was never a power puncher.
No, he never was. He never was. And Gervonta is packing some fucking dynamite in there, right?
So, it's one of the hardest putters in the game. And that bolo uppercut was beautiful, because if you saw him kind of load up on it, you thought he was going to go to Leo's body. And then he kind of changes the trajectory of the punch last second to an uppercut. It was beautiful to watch. I like watching Tank fight. I mean, even though he's a TMT fighter, I still give him credit for that Pedraza fight. But like Cam mentioned, those fights have been too far, too few and far in between. So he needs to step it up, but he has all the talent in the world, so there shouldn't be any reason why he shouldn't step it up. And Gervonta's a draw, man. People really follow him, I think, in a way. There's something really captivating about him. And the day after, like, he was trending on all of the YouTube videos, on Twitter, obviously, the night of. So I think Floyd has a, you know, not a megastar, but I think Gervonta can rack in like 400,000 to 500,000 pay-per-view buys every fight that he has, as long as it's against decent opposition.
Does anyone know about the pay-per-view buys figure?
I think it's too early at this point. They're usually like 10 days to 2 weeks after the fight, but I'm pretty sure it did well, because Tank is always drawn well, whether it be non-pay-per-view fights or main events at different locations. So I'd probably guess like 350 to 400.
Lim, what do you allude his popularity to? I mean, I don't think it's just the Mayweather TMT tag that he's got, because there's been other guys like him that have gotten a push that have not succeeded, or even have not even gone remotely to the success that he has, right? Is it purely his fighting style, or is there something else you think that he's got in terms of an X factor?
I think it's fighting style. I think it's that kind of like that goofy like persona that he has. Like, you can tell he's just a street dude. And if you like follow him on IG, like, he's chilling with OBJ, with Drake and all them guys. And, you know, I'm not trying to be one of these like Instagram fucking analyzers, because those people are fucking stupid as fuck. But I think it does kind of show that, he does have clout. And when he fights, like, people know about it. Like, when he came out to fight, he came out to Lil Uzi Vert. It was like a piece of shit, like, mumble rapper. Like, he's not a piece of shit person, but his music is a piece of shit. But that kind of shit, like, it generates eyeballs and interests. And he's, like, pretty much doing what AB hoped he was doing 5 years ago. So, Gervonta's in a good place, man. He's 25 years old. And, you know, I was out here in Vegas when he was having his training camp, and I heard that he went out to the Mayweather gym like 12 weeks out. So he pretty much had like a six week fat camp, where he was wearing like nothing but sauna suits and just trying to lose the weight. And the last 6 weeks were kind of geared towards actual technical training. So he definitely has a lot of problems, but, you know, I think he's so talented, man, that he's always going to be in our ears, like, no matter what. And I think he's more talented than Broner, so I don't think he's going to go away, even if he's not the most disciplined guy in the world.
Oh, he is way more talented than Broner. Even his mentality is just completely different, right? Like, Broner is just... with Broner, you're praying that the guy would actually have some sort of output, and Gervonta is... Say what you want about him, he's the complete opposite. He just comes in guns blazing and just try to take people's heads off. So... I don't know. I don't really know what it is. I when I watch his countdowns and stuff, I don't really get captivated at all. I might be biased because I fucking hate Floyd, but he's just, I don't know. He just doesn't have any star power for me. But the moment he gets in the ring, it is excitement all around. But again, I'm not really seeing where the star power is apart. I mean, you can stick a guy with a bunch of rappers. That doesn't mean that they're going to be translating into pay-per-view buys, right? And plus, he's a small dude, which is great to see. You know, it's not like he's a fucking middleweight or something. So I just hope he stays disciplined, man, because remember when AB came out, we were all excited by him too. I was, man. Like when he, who's that guy?
Yeah, I don't, that's fair to say that Gervonta is way more talented than AB. Because I think, like you're probably going to say, I think AB was really talented when he first came up at 130. Like, he started off at 126, right?
Yeah, he did.
So he was really good.
He fought that little Irish dude as well at one point. Gavin DeMarco. Yeah, that's what I was saying. When he fought DeMarco, I got really excited. I remember that fight very clearly. I remember him wearing the fucking pink shorts. I remember him standing in the pocket firing off these beautiful counter shots. And I was like, oh, this guy is the shit. And then afterwards, it just went downhill real, real fast. So and maybe it's him moving up too much as well. I don't know. But with Tank, I hope he doesn't just start moving up recklessly simply to cater to his you know, his dietary transgressions. Because, dude, if you at this size, I think he already – you know, he's starting to fill out nicely. Like, he doesn't exactly look completely lean, and I don't want him to just become one of those dudes that's fighting in a higher weight class with a bunch of jelly rolls on the side and eventually just get in trouble by facing guys that are just way too big for him. So I hope he retains that discipline, man. I really do.
I like Tang, man. You just tell he's from the hood. After the fight, he was like, this safety ain't got no Glock, or this Glock ain't got no safety on it. And then Brian Koos was just like, okay, where did that come from?
All right, put a gun reference out there. But I don't know, you guys are talking about discipline, but did you read a report on Boxing Scene last night that he was possibly involved in a hit and run accident in Baltimore?
No, I didn't see that, but it doesn't surprise me, to be honest.
I know, it's crazy, man. It's like, I hope it's not true, but it's just a problem we have with boxers, man. Like, a lot of them that come from the streets just can't leave that life behind, man. And even if it was just, you know, bad driving or something, like, you just gotta stay at the scene and wait for the police to arrive. You can't be just, like, fleeing. And I don't want to talk because obviously it's all speculation, but if he had a strap in the car, or he was high, or he was drunk, then that could possibly be a reason. But maybe he just thought, "Fuck it," and he left the scene. But it's just a problem we have with too many boxes and too often. But
but Cam, you also need to take into account, like, you have a lot of dudes saying they're from the street, right? AB says, "I'm from the street." And I'm not denying that he is. I'm not the guy to tell him yes or no to that. But if you look at Gervonta's upbringing, man, it's pretty fucked up, right? So for this guy to, at this age, to have perfect behavior, he's going to need some real fucking good guidance and people around him, right? He's getting a lot of money. He's getting fame. It's tough, man. If you have that sort of childhood and upbringing and you had basically nothing, right? And you live in one of the roughest places in the fucking United States of America. And now all of a sudden you're a multimillionaire. It's easy for us to sit back and say, like, oh, this and that about people's behavior. But how would you fucking react, right? I sometimes find it, look, AB is a fucking nutcase. We all know that. I don't foresee Gervonta flushing money down the toilet, but if he would get, like, tangled up into some old affairs once in a while, you know, old behaviors, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I really, really wouldn't be surprised. But as long as he can sort of keep the ball rolling and stay relatively sane and just stay fit, we can have a great career from this guy. But it's a dangerous prospect, man. Not everybody is like Floyd, you know, where they, even despite all the personal shit, where he stays fit and active, you know, and disciplined for his entire career, right? Like, that's pretty rare. And we've seen plenty of guys just, you know, go under for this type of behavior. So let's see. But, you know, I personally wouldn't shit on him completely just for, you know, getting caught up with the law once in a while. I just want him to stay in the fucking gym. That's what I care about. I want him to make weight, and I want him to, respect the requirements of the sport. So
yeah.
What do you want to see him do next, man?
Well, that was my question. I was going to ask to Liv. Obviously, this had two world championship belts on the line, 135 and 130. I'm going to get into a rant about that in a while. It seems like I have a rant about sanctioning bodies in every episode, so I'll continue that. But Lim, what do you see for Javante next? Staying at 30, going back to 35. I actually want him to fight a full-fledged guy at that weight now. If he stays at 30, fight someone like Bichelt size, or if he goes to 35 again, fight a full-fledged 135-pounder. Don't be like dragging guys up again and all that shit, because it just gives me another excuse to shit on him.
I don't know. It's knowing Javante, it's probably going to be, he's probably going to fight like another 2 to 3 crappy opponents, and then he's going to have another decent fight. I just think that's how these TMT fighters are. And that's just how boxers are in general nowadays. See guys like having back to back good fights, and I'm saying that.
Lim, are you covering your mic up a bit, Lim?
Huh?
Sounded like you were covering over your mic. Did you notice that, Kimo? Or was it just me?
Yeah. You're turning away from your mic, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I was just saying that these TMT fighters, especially, like, when do you see them having back-to-back good opponents? And even the Santa Cruz fight wasn't that great. But I just don't see, with all the promotional networks not being on the same page with COVID, I mean, like, what possibility is there of Javante having a good fight for his next fight? Like, if we look at the guys who are at 130 or 135 right now, are they under Showtime? And if they are under Showtime, like, could you even see them fighting? Because with guys like Burchelt, maybe, but, like, I just feel like there's too many obstacles right now with everything going on in the world for him to have a good fight for his next fight.
That's a good point, because both weight classes, well, not 35, not as bad, but 30 is pretty thinned out at the moment.
Yeah. Well, what are the odds that he fights the winner of Ryan Garcia versus Luke? I was about to say Luke Thomas, Luke Campbell.
No way, dude. Because Ryan, they're both with DAZN. One is with Golden Boy, the other one's with Matchroom. Like, I guess with Matchroom possibly, right? Because there have been some Matchroom
crossover fights,
like TMT, like crossover fights. But if it's Golden Boy, there's no way that's happening.
Yeah, I agree.
You guys and your fucking networks, man. I don't want to hear about it. Well, look, man. What if Ryan Garcia has a spectacular fucking performance? Knocks out fucking Luke Campbell, right? Propels himself into fucking stardom, which he's already getting there, right?
No, he's not, dude. It's such a difference between YouTube fame and actual boxing fame, man. There's a reason why Ryan Garcia has like 2 times the followers that Canelo has on Instagram, but Canelo can headline pay-per-view fights every single fight that he has.
Yeah, but you're now comparing the number one guy in boxing versus somebody who's...
That wasn't my main point. I'm just saying there's a huge, huge disparity between having followers and having actual eyeballs watch a fight.
I get that, but I think Ryan Garcia, if he actually has the talent and the fighting capability, I think he could be a huge star. I don't know how you would deny that, bro.
But not his next fight.
No, I think that's fair. It might be too premature, which is probably the reason why they wouldn't make that fight to begin with, right? They might let it quote-unquote marinate, like they always fucking say. But down the line, it could. I mean, that would be fucking humongous, right? The Mexican-American community versus the... I was about to say black, but I guess it's the...
No, it is a black community. That's the proper
yeah.
thing.
I guess.
No, it really is. I'm serious. African-American.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of quote-unquote, not quote-unquote, but there's a lot of black people in America who aren't from Africa. So black is more politically correct.
No, but I'm saying Javante doesn't just appeal to black people, right? That's not what I was trying to say. But yeah, you got my point. It's different demographics that are getting pulled into a big fight.
I see some potential. I never put weight into these kind of conversations that talk about, like, attracting fans, hypothetically. I just don't see it with Ryan Garcia. And maybe this is me being too jaded, or being too, unfair with regards to his boxing talent. But I'm always very skeptical of people like him who are popular with the Instagram generation who have an attention span of 5 seconds. I don't think that correlates to ability to draw, to get people to a fight and pay $80 for a ticket or pay $75 for pay-per-view. I just don't see the correlation. And I don't think he's that good of a fighter either. So if he beats Campbell by knockout, I have to give him credit. But, I don't see it with Ryan Garcia, and especially with Golden Boy. Oscar would never put him in there with Tank. Tank is just too big of a puncher, and Ryan Garcia is like 20 years old. So that fight wouldn't happen for like another 5 years, I would imagine, if it ever even comes close to happening.
Yeah, Tank is the type of guy that fucking could end his career. He's 22, man, at the end of the day, right? Like, if you were his manager, you wouldn't put him in there either. I mean, I think that's fair. But I kind of disagree with you on the look. Taking aside his fighting ability, that's a different discussion. But if he does continue to win and he does well and he does it in a spectacular fashion, I think if this guy matures a little bit, right, becomes like 24, 25, and starts sticking his faces in like TV shows and interviews and things like that, I think he could be a home run. I could see that happening, but. Where I do agree with you on is like, I'm not sure if he has the fighting ability to even be a legit like top three, top five fighter without sort of, you know, handing him a belt, a vacant belt sometime, you know, and making him some sort of quote unquote world champion. I'm not too sure if that's possible, but we'll see.
I don't know.
Cam,
man.
Do you want to see, the Loma fight?
Anybody who wears Gymshark, I'm out. I don't know if you guys know. Cam, do you know what Gymshark is, the brand?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you wear Gymshark, you're a fucking fag. End of.
Sorry, Cam. What did you say? Would I like to see Davis versus Lomachenko?
Yeah.
Come on, bro. I'm a diehard Lomasexual. I would love that fight. But Lomachenko, obviously, we're going to get to him in a bit. But I think he's in a difficult position now because he's lost all his titles. He's going to be in the Who Needs You Club. Like, no one's going to really... want to fight him because they're not going to win any titles, and it's still a high risk fight. And you know, these days boxers don't take high risk fights without any high reward. So just two more observations about the Leo Davis fight from me, and then we can move on unless you guys have got anything else to add. Props to Leo's dad, man. Like, he's got the will to survive. Like, it's like he's got more lives than a fucking cat. Like, every time Leo's had a big fight, like, the subheader, like, the, you know, when the person at Showtime, or when Krieger was at Showtime before he moved to ESPN, they would do these behind-the-scenes shows, and it's always about Leo's dad being ill and coming through it, man. Like, props to him, man. He's a survivor. But I want your opinion on Mahrez taking over from Paulie after Paulie got fired from Showtime. Like,
oh god,
he just sounds like a stoned version of Nyota. Like, I think he's pretty terrible on the mic, man.
Dude, the selection of commentators. I mean, don't get me started on this. We could have a fucking 5-hour podcast on this. The selection of people that they allow to do commentary in this sport is atrocious. I honestly do not fucking understand it. And as much as I hate Paulie Malignaggi, like, I despise him, right? I cannot stand the fucking guy. It at least makes sense to put him behind the mic, right? If you look at him as a character, as a personality, and during his fighting career, you look at him and you say, okay, the guy has a fucking motor mouth. He can talk. Give him a job behind the mic. I can understand that. Have you ever seen or heard a fucking Abner Morris interview? Like, who thought we need that guy? Yeah. Like, I do not fucking understand it, man. It just completely baffles me. Like, does he have like nude pictures of a guy at Showtime or something? I don't know what it is. This is like giving Gervonta a fucking commentary job. Well, okay, not that bad, but like it's pretty close. I don't get it, man. I honestly do not fucking get it.
while you're on your rant, then, like, what others are really annoying you in the industry at the moment, commentary-wise?
Well, one person I always have to take a shit on is fucking Sergio Mora, right? I mean, I'm watching two beautiful, beautiful fights of our boy. And yes, he's still my boy, Cam. And El Gallo versus the little prince. And
Cuadros.
All I hear is this fucking guy talking about Mexican style in his annoying voice. And it just... And of course there's Mark Kriegel as well, who's, I know he's not a fighter, but fuck me, man. Get this guy off of my TV. What is he doing there? At least DAZN had it right, and they've reinstated fucking the prince, the king of fucking commentary, Nick Holling, but, man. I really, like, Tim Bradley is the only guy that sort of, you know, didn't dampen my expectations because, like, okay, I never thought Tim Bradley was a great speaker either, but he's sort of passing. He's not passing with flying colors, but he's passing with like a, you know, 6 out of 10, right? Which I will take, right? I will take that over fucking Abner Morris. I don't know, man. We used to have some good fucking guys in boxing, man. Like we used, I mean, Roy Jones, obviously classic. Say what you want about him, but he has had some classic fucking calls. I always liked Antonio Tarver as well. I thought he was pretty decent. Yeah, we've had some good guys, man. Like, I just...
Lennox?
Well, fuck, man. Even Lennox Lewis was better, you know? Lennox, in his own way, had a bit of style the way he used to do commentary. Yeah. It was a bit high as well.
It was always funny, though, because when he was with Joe Gooson, Lennox would just say something that was so wrong. And the Gooson was like, Lennox, it was actually a right hand, not a left. And he was like, oh... Oh, thanks. Fucking
well, you mentioned Goosen. I think Goosen's excellent. Like, I'm surprised they don't use him more.
It's probably because he's busy. I'm sure they want to use him, but
true.
How old people are. But Abner is awful. Like he is.
He's hard to listen
so
to.
So dumb.
Yeah.
If you watch him on the TV, he's cross-eyed. So he looks like he's like just mentally just not even capable to. Add 4 plus 3, let alone talk about a fight. And it's crazy, man. Like he's so bad at speaking. Like I would understand if they use him for the Spanish commentary because Abner can speak fluent Spanish and it would make sense because they used to do that with Robert Garcia. But for him to like provide commentary in English is just, what's the point? And he's not even a big name fighter. So it's like he doesn't even bring anything to the table from that regard.
Yeah.
You know, he's not like a former pound-for-pound fighter like Andre Ward or something. So
yeah,
it's mind-boggling.
And even now that you mention him, even Andre Ward, I would look at an interview, right? And I would say, yeah, I could speak. You know, I could say the guy is pretty, pretty well-spoken. Whatever comes out of his mouth is pretty fucking delusional most of the time, but he knows how to speak, right? Man. Cam, it's just infuriating, man. We could be having, cause for me, it adds so much to the fight, right? It really, really is. And anybody that wants to fucking argue with me on this, I disagree because just go back to the fucking heydays of HBO. The commentary is a part of the fucking fight, right? It lifts it up. When you watch Vasquez Marquez, you know, like the commentary is part of that legacy, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Again, HBO, it had the same fucking classic calls. When you think of the Pacquiao knockout, you don't just think of the knockout, right? You think of, he's not getting up, Jim.
Exactly.
Like, that is part of it, man.
Yeah.
It's such a shame that we do not respect that in boxing. I don't understand. It's so important to the sport. And I'm not just saying this because I'm a fan of commentary, but it really, really is essential. And then, by the way, not just in boxing, in any fucking sport. You look at the Premier League, you look at American football, you look at any fucking sport, you know, even darts, right, which is something completely bullshit, gets elevated immensely just by the commentary. So you need proper people in place. You need people with passion that speak well, you know, that do something, man, to fucking add value to it. I oh, God, man. At least, you know, for a guy like Mauro Ranallo, a shout out to his hair. I don't know what is going on over there, but he's got some balls rocking that shit on there. I know he's a passionate guy, even though I make fun of him a lot, right? But there's, but like, if you've looked at some of his YouTube footage and his interviews and stuff like that, the guy will literally spend hours and hours and hours preparing and studying tape of not only fighters, but also of commentators. And, you know, he's like a historian of commentary. He's got passion for what he does. Yes, he's a bit of an acquired taste, but when I look at that guy go off, you know, and he does go off, I feel it, you know? But Mark Kriegel, for example, is fake as fuck. He is fucking fake. It just drips off of the screen. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, man. Let's get back to to a little bit of boxeo.
All right. Same night, we had Alexander Usyk versus Derek Chisora in London.
Oh.
Go on, Kimo. Kick us off.
Yeah, you just had me talk about commentary, and then you want to jump into this fight? I watched it on DAZN, mate. It was a fucking terrible fight, but I was at the edge of my seat because of Nick Holler. What a return to form. Oh, my Lord.
You say
he
that,
but... rough this guy up.
Wait, you say that, but some of the ones you sent me some soundbites, which I'm going to play now, but I don't know, they weren't classics, but I guess you need a classic fight for classic soundbites.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a shit fight. So if he's already doing this for a shit fight, imagine he gets something like Frosh Groves 1.
Yeah. I don't know. My soundbites are not working, Kimo, so it wasn't...
Cam, don't let me down, bro. You can't do this to me now.
His own biggest force, Chisora, really is swinging for the fences here, and he picked up another sharp little right hand there, Chisora.
Bro, your soundbites are terrible. Did you record it on your phone?
No, it sounds fucking brutal on the show. No, don't play it anymore.
I did terrible, bro. Sorry. That's an L for you.
He also roughed this guy up. I just love it when he starts steering the narrative of the fight, even though it hasn't really happened yet. You know, like when Usyk has like one little, you know, step backwards. He's not comfortable in there. You know, he's looking a little bit uncomfortable. It's like, man, he's fine. We all know he's going to be fine. Like, relax.
And also, like, I don't know about you, but Holland kind of misses punches sometimes. He'd be like, oh, that right hand hurt him. And it's like, he didn't even connect with it. What are you talking about?
He just wants to say right hand. Haven't you noticed that?
That is true. But yeah, anyway, as to the fight.
Back to the fight.
Yeah.
Sloppy, kind of ugly, obviously. Yeah, I don't know really what we would be getting out of this fight, to be honest. I did expect Usyk to win. He kind of went back to the old Usyk, which I didn't like, which is a little bit too passive for my liking, Cam. I really, really thought he could have let his hands go a little bit more. And I know there was a lot of clinching and mauling and stuff like that. So it's difficult, especially when you're dealing with a guy who's fat as fuck and is much bigger than you. But like, I wanted more from him, man. Like, you're fighting Derek fucking Chisora. If you're going to be having this performance with somebody who's really a C-minus heavyweight at this point, if not less, it's kind of concerning. And he looked small in the ring as well, which, again, expected, but I wasn't impressed with this man. I started respecting Usyk a lot more. And as you remember, because we haven't done this show in like 2 years, but like, I was always a bit of an Usyk hater because I just thought he was way too passive, right? He fights a bit like a fucking fencer. And then he got a bit more offensive and he started performing and he got, and obviously knocked out Tony Bellew, and we're all forever in his debt because of that. But he kind of went back to his old ways, and maybe it's just because he's fighting a heavyweight, you know? So he's just tentative in there. I really wasn't too impressed. And when he says, like, I want Anthony Joshua, mate, I personally think that's a bad idea. What was your take on the fight?
Yeah, kind of echo most of what you said. It was kind of a sloppy fight. I was surprised Team Usyk allowed the ring to be so small. You're thinking with them being the A side, they'd be able to dictate it being a big ring and it being a more of a comfortable fight for Usyk. But it was tiny, man. And, like, he just kept circling the perimeter as much as he could to get away from those wild swings of Derek. Like, props to Derek, he give it a go, you know,
those first three rounds, he put a lot of effort in, but he just blew himself out. He had a little resurgence towards the end, but you mentioned Tony Bellew earlier. He had his mate Chisora winning the fight, which was ridiculous. But it was a closer fight than it should have been, if that makes sense. Like, skill-wise, Usyk is so much better than Chisora, so you'd think it should have been a wider decision. But I think it was a bit too close for comfort, I think. Like,
Man, this was not by no means like a fucking whitewash, right? Like, I honestly thought, I'm not trolling here because I'm not like a blind Ukrainian hater like Neote is, right? But like, I could honestly give Chisora five rounds, and I'm not trolling when I say that.
I could.
Don't ask me which ones. I didn't score it. I don't have a fucking scorecard with me, but I could easily give him like five rounds simply because of the way the fight looked, right? And the amount of punches that he threw. And yes, of course, he was missing a lot, but if he's fucking throwing a bunch of punches, which are landing on gloves, landing on the body, and he's coming forward and he's pressing the action, and Usyk throws like, you know, a few jabs and one right hand, I can't give him the round, man.
Yeah.
There's no way. Like, come on. And he didn't, and Usyk didn't really like have that much success in the first half of the fight. It wasn't until later on that he really, really started like getting some nice, you know, clean punches off that sort of snapped Chisora's head back. But until then, like, he wasn't having a lot of success, man.
So, yeah. First three rounds I gave to Chisora because he was so uncomfortable.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? When you have that sort of fight happening, if this dude has a bit of a better gas tank, you could possibly lose a decision. That is very real, right?
Definitely.
So, yeah. I don't think Lim saw this fight, or did he?
I'm not sure.
I would be surprised if he's watched
it. Yeah, this is not a Lim type of fight, but did you catch it, Lim? Or was it a highlights only type of situation?
You should still pretend as if you've seen it.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of the clothing brand, though. Cam, you know, Lomas.
Lomas, Lomachenko and Usyk.
Yeah, what a wonderful brand. Tremendous.
I've never seen it before.
It was the tee Lomachenko was wearing on his ring walk. It's like, it looked like a bootleg, you know, like if you buy it from a local market in Manchester. Like, oh, there's a Lomachenko t-shirt. Should we move on then, Lemmy, unless you want to add anything?
Let's move on.
Kimo, what else you got, Ev?
Are you bothered about the undercard fight on there? The Australian versus Lee Selby?
I didn't watch that shit.
I know that fight pretty well because that George dude fought. He's a trainer at the wild card, and he would always talk a lot of shit. But he's one of those guys that are, again, that are popular more on social media because they do those, like, fucking, how many punches can you throw in a minute challenge on Instagram? He's one of those guys. So he's not a very high-level fighter, but... props to him for beating Selby, I guess. I didn't know that Selby went up to 135.
Yeah, you totally skipped 130.
Yeah. Selby, I don't think Selby cares about boxing. So I think he's made enough money. So yeah. Good for him.
Before we go into Lomachenko, just quickly, same night, Kimo, we had Nao Inoue versus Jason Maloney, man. I love watching Inoue fight.
Inoue is a fucking... he's a fucking don. I only saw a couple of highlights of this, Cam, but...
I think I'm better equipped to answer the question.
Plus, you kind of look like him now, man. Go ahead.
Inoue is... he's really fun to watch, but I don't... I mean, how high do you guys have him on your pound list?
I don't
really do pound for pound.
Yeah, anymore, I don't fuck with pound for pound. Yeah, I'm the same. Yeah. I'm totally the same. I hate pound for pounds because.
But still, how do you rank him then? Like, how good is he? That's what I want to know then.
He's relative, definitely like one of the best fighters in the sport, easily.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still a little hesitant.
What makes you hesitant?
Just his style. It's his opposition. Maloney just doesn't seem like a good fighter. Against Nonito, maybe it's the weight. Maybe I don't give enough credit to guys at lower weight classes moving up weight classes. But, I mean, against a way past it, Nonito, I didn't see, like, the high-level stuff that I would want from an elite, elite, elite fighter. And I guess it is just the resume.
No, I'll take the resume thing, but I really, really enjoy watching Inoue fight, man. And he hasn't had his big ticket moment where he faces somebody that we all consider like highly elite, right? Like his coming out party.
Who would you consider that to be?
He's got the look, right?
Who would you consider his coming out party opposition?
Well, that's the fucking problem at some of these weight classes, right? Who can he fight? That's a real...
The problem is now he's gone up to bantam.
Yeah.
And really the best fights are kind of probably Superfly, you know, Estrada and still Roman Gonzalez. Still, that would be a massive fight in Japan.
Yeah, but still again. I'm going to be a bit of a dick here, but he would be fighting a Choco who's quite past his prime. So it's a good fight. Don't get me wrong. I watched the hell out of it, but meh. Like, it's not prime Choco.
Oh, Chocolatito. I think you said Ochoco.
Ocho Cinco.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. How much does Ocho weigh? A bit more,
right? 215.
Okay,
yeah, that's not... Yeah, so... Yeah, nothing else for me, Cam. I mean, fun fight. Beautiful, beautiful right hand that he landed on Maloney, but I'm just the wrong person to ask. I've always hated on the lower weight classes, so... Nobody should take anything I have to say with any seriousness.
All right. Let's go to a fighter that you have great fondness for then. Take it back a couple of weeks to Lomachenko versus Teofimo Lopez.
This is like you asking Amir Khan in his heyday. Are you being asked about Amir Khan in his heyday? If Amir Khan like took you to his boxing gym when you were a little child. Like, the fondness that I have for Teofimo is just, you know, it's next level. So
let it roll.
It was just a beautiful fight, man. I really love this fight. I love boxing at its highest level. And I really enjoyed the first six rounds of this fight, even. Just the kind of trickery that was going on in the fight and the way that Tio was reacting to what Lomachenko did. Not actually reacting, but actually imposing. What Lomachenko could do, just the speed of the two fighters, man, is just crazy. Like, first thing is I give Lomachenko all the props. You know, I never hate the opponent, because by hating on the opponent, you're taking away credit from the fighter that you're a fan of. And I thought Lomachenko, maybe a shoulder surgery had something to do with it, but I just felt like in the six rounds where he was not being active, I think he just saw how quick Teofimo was, and I'm sure his camp was really aware that once you get hit with a power shot by Teofimo, that's probably a game over for you. So I do buy that maybe a little bit was a game plan. So I'm sure Lomachenko's pops probably told him, like, look, let's try to drag this out as much as possible and take over in the late rounds. But I think even more than that, it was just him looking at Teofimo's speed and just his feet work, man. If you really look at the fight and the way that Tio was able to pivot kind of in stride with Lomachenko, like, he was never really out of position like other Lomachenko opponents. Like, even guys like Linares, who has always been deemed as high-level fighters, they could never react to Lomachenko's footwork in the way that Tio did, and in the sense that Tio would always move whenever Loma moved, and he wasn't susceptible to those awkward, you know, body shots or those weird angular punches that Lomachenko is able to land because of his beautiful angle work. But I loved it. Just a high-level fight. That 12th round was beautiful. It's the way that Teofimo was able to capitalize and not listen to his dad, because I thought that was pretty awful advice by his dad, to be reticent and not engage in the 12th round, because that round could have been like the breaking point round of the fight. So I loved it. The kid is 23 years old. I've known him since he was probably 16 and a half. So for him to be able to capitalize on all of his talent, which is something that you rarely ever see in the sport, as a kid that you know is so talented. And yet for him to just to be able to realize all of his dreams at age 23 in his 15th fight. And this is like his third 12-round fight, man. And he beat the pound-for-pound number one guy to become undisputed at 135. Like, that's like a fucking, like a movie story. Like, how do you write something better than that?
Tremendous.
What do you think, Kimo?
I thought it was a wonderful fight. Highly tense, technical. Just enough action, you know, to keep you at the edge of your seat. I thought Teofimo was very, very impressive, Cam. His jab was extremely fucking solid. And I mentioned this before to Lim. He kind of throws it weird. It's almost, I'm going to use one of your words. It's almost like he throws it as a little bit of a backhand, you know? And I don't mean backhand as in straight right hand, the way you guys call it. I mean, backhand as in his, you know, he throws it almost a little bit from the hip sometimes, you know, because he's got that sort of half Philly shell going on. But it worked. The jab immediately took over the fight, right? And this is something that I firmly believe in. No matter how talented you are, like somebody like Lomachenko or Pacquiao or some of these real unorthodox guys that have these great legs that throw these, you know, beautiful combinations from all different angles, the key to resolving that puzzle is a fucking good jab and having a little bit of range, which Teofimo has both and fantastic timing. But he didn't just stick with that, right? He threw to the body. He's got a fantastic right hand. He was bigger. He looked physically much bigger, man. His legs, his shoulders, his traps. You know, it was like Brian Rose in there, Cam. He just looked physically very imposing. And to be honest, man, the first like 7 rounds, Loma had nothing for him. You could just physically see him searching. He couldn't find an opening because I think he goddamn knew well the moment he would come in recklessly, you know, it's night night for him, right? You could feel that in the air, and I think he knew that. So the better fighter just won. He was better on all aspects, and I don't even want to bring up the weight discussion or whatever. Like, dude, Teofimo was just absolutely impressive for his age as well. He paced himself, right? He didn't let the moment get to him. He was mentally very, very strong in the fight. I read on Twitter that some people were talking about him slowing down in the fight. I don't think he particularly slowed down, you know, for a guy his age to be able to go 12 rounds and to just, you know, sort of stay focused the whole time. And that's both mentally and physically, man. Like, he just, you know, he paced himself. He made sure that he had enough left, you know, to go the whole distance. I mean, flawless performance, Cam. Honestly, I can't really fault him much. And you can say what you want. I haven't been a big Loma fanboy like you have, but the dude is on a wide consensus considered one of the best pound for pound fighters in boxing. And to beat his ass that decisively and outskill him as well, fucking impressive, man. So, yeah. Go for it, Cam.
You said decisively. Do you think that was a decisive win for Teo?
Hell yeah. Anybody that doesn't think that is full of shit.
I don't, so if you're about to say that,
I think you're full of shit.
I don't think that was a decisive win. Like, I almost think that I'm gonna give Teo his props, don't worry. And obviously I am a Team Loma sexual stand up. But I almost feel that Lomachenko lost the fight more than Teo won the fight.
Nah.
That's what a casual says, man.
No.
Damn, you're upsetting me right now.
That's what casuals say, bro.
Cause for me, for a guy to like do nothing for 6 rounds, obviously he was trying things, he was trying to get on the inside. He was trying to negotiate his way through, but Teo did, you know, keep him on the outside. The right hand to the body was really good. I thought Teo. I've criticized him cutting off the ring in previous fights. I think that was a lot better in this fight. As Lim said, he would pivot with Lomachenko when Lomachenko would do his sidestep to the right. I would have liked Lomachenko try and mix it up a bit and do a step to the left just to vary up a bit. He didn't. But if you play it back and you have a rematch, if Lomachenko starts a few rounds earlier, I think you'd have a lot closer of a fight. And I think Lomachenko could win a rematch. Even though
I'll let you finish. Go ahead.
Even though I've said all that, and I am, you know, Lomachenko fanboy, I was disappointed with a lot of things. For one, we all know he has this arrogance. And arrogance when you're winning is one thing, but arrogance when you're losing is another. And I think he could have given Tio a bit more credit in his post-fight and any interviews after that. I think...
How about any credit?
Yeah, that's fair.
Some credit. Just say something positive.
Yeah, like even the post fight, you could say, you know what? I thought I won the fight, but this kid is very good, and he was a lot better than I thought. And, like, you could always give some dues to the other guy. So I didn't like that. I didn't like the fact that you kind of like ran out of the ring and whatever. And then this whole bullshit about his shoulder, like. I just had memories of Pacquiao, of Mayweather, man, like that terrible couple of weeks we had to endure after that fight. And I'm an advocate. If you're going into a fight and you're injured, no matter how high profile the fight, you have to pull out. You cannot go into that fight thinking, well, I might still be able to beat him even though I'm injured, but then make excuse afterwards if you lose. Like, you know, that's one thing I cannot forgive, man. Like, and obviously he didn't really say it himself. He did it through his manager, Klimas, but it's the same thing, isn't it? It's, if anything, it's worse when it's not coming from you. It's like you're hiding behind your manager.
Just judging from the way Loma performed, it didn't seem that his shoulder was that bad. If his poor performance was more so just a poor tactical decision.
I don't know, Lim. I've said for the last couple of years that I thought Loma's body's breaking down slowly. He keeps picking up niggly injuries. His output has really dropped. He doesn't throw the right hand as much. So I could see it being genuine, but you just don't bring it up. You either pull out the fight, have it next year and maybe fans in attendance, make a bit more money, or...
Yeah, but just he did so well in the middle round.
It doesn't matter though, does it, Lim?
No, because it does matter, because I'm saying, I agree with you that his output has decreased over the years, but what I'm saying is that he was physically able to perform well enough to fight closer, or at least close to what Lomachenko was capable of. Like, what I'm saying is I don't think his shoulder was severe enough to the extent that you could use it as an excuse, because I'm a little bit more, willing to give fighters, like a second chance when it comes to these excuses, because I've seen fighters like in person have really awful injuries and still fight. So I'm willing to give some fighters a pass, but basically what I saw with my eyes in that fight, I don't think Lomachenko's shoulder was bad enough for him to use it as a crutch.
Okay, that's fair. And also me and Lim had a discussion about this last weekend. How has your team not implemented a rematch clause in this? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. Like, if you're the A side and you're bringing more belts into this unification, you should cover yourself. Like, Lim said that if he was fighting Rod Salka, he'd have a rematch clause in there. And it's true, because if you get like a headbutt after the fourth round, that fucks your eye up and you can't continue, and you've done nothing for four rounds. You've given away four rounds.
Yeah.
You know,
if I was Andy Ruiz's manager and Andy Ruiz was fighting Ski Mask Joe, I would put in a fucking rematch clause.
Oh yeah,
Ski Mask has got that right hand, man. He's got an equalizer. Yeah,
he's got a pretty raw hand. Throws, like,
shout out to Ski Mask, but it is just mind-boggling, because the only two outcomes, the only two like rationales you could have if you're Lomachenko's manager is that either A, just pure incompetence, and you just forgot to add a rematch clause, or B, you're just so arrogant that you didn't see a possibility in which Lomachenko lost. So which of those two reasons are worse? I think they're both equally, not equally, but I think they're both awful. So
I would probably lean, lean towards the latter. I think Team Lomachenko is quite arrogant and I probably thought we'll just beat this kid. So no need to put a rematch clause on there.
Yeah. Cam, I just have to respond whatever you said because I really, really, like, I don't want to start ripping you, obviously, but like, you're really not giving this the credit. No, but you really should give the guy a lot more credit, man. If you don't think this is a decisive victory, like, in so many aspects, did he outclass Lomachenko?
Kimo, did Lomachenko do anything for six rounds?
Yeah, but why do you think that is?
You can't just say, oh, it was all Tio and he just didn't let him do anything for 12 rounds. So then what happened in the next six rounds?
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Because it's not like he's standing there and consciously choosing to give away six rounds. Okay. It has nothing to do with that. This whole thing about you can try and add a story around it of like, oh, he's a notoriously slow start or whatever. Come on, bro. You had a dude in front of him. Look at the body language of the fight, right? Look at the way they were standing across each other. Look at the way Teofimo took the center of the ring, right? And imposed his will on the fight. Like, it really, really baffles me. This is 100% of what he does. I don't give a fuck what excuses people make. I really don't care. His style, you might have, I'm not going to be one of those guys that has predicted this, right? Because I didn't. But if you look at it in fight, his style is the kryptonite for a style that Lomachenko has. Like I said, he covered every single track, right? The battle of the jabs, and I think Loma has always had a weak sauce jab. He easily wins, right? The output and the stamina. Teofimo did enough body work to sort of keep him, you know, keep him at bay and keep the respect in there, right? I don't understand why people won't just give the guy credit. You're talking about the guy who's fucking pound for pound. You predicted, I'm going to say it, you predicted for Teofimo to get embarrassed when the exact opposite happened, right? So, man, I don't understand why you don't give this guy credit. And, man, historically, like I said, we've seen that in this sort of style matchup, This thing tends to happen, right? It's not a complete, you know, accurate example, but if you look, for example, at when Vernon Forrest fought Shane Mosley, right? Shane Mosley at the time was a fucking athletic, like, you know, combination puncher that did incredible things in there. Right? Let's remember the actual Shane Mosley, right? But then he fought a guy with great fundamentals, right? Great reactions, good speed and length, and boom. Shut down, right? Beat him twice, decisively, right? When you get in a certain style in front of you, this is what happens. And Loma, if you're gonna say it's on Loma, okay, what is the alternative? Given his skill set, right? I'm not even talking about Teofimo right now. Given Lomachenko's skill set, what would you have him do differently? That's my question. You want him just walk on the inside? Like, no. What is he supposed to do? He doesn't have the jab. He doesn't have the range. He doesn't have the power to bother this guy, man. He doesn't.
Right. To answer a few of your rebuttals. First of all, I give Teofimo a huge amount of credit, as I said earlier. And as Lim said, the heart he's shown in that 12th round when there was almost a shift in momentum in the 11th when it looked like Lomachenko might have just, you know, done something or maybe get a knockdown or something like that. He just came out in the 12th and really bullied Loma and showed him, look, I'm taking this fight. Not like I'm just going to creep over the line. I'm going to take the fight off you. But you say, what could Loma do different? I think there's a lot he could do different. I think he's been in there once now. He's felt Teofimo's power. I think he was a bit predictable with his footwork. As I said earlier, I think too many sidesteps to the right. I think he could have mixed it up a bit just to keep Teofimo thinking. And start earlier, like, notoriously, like, he's become a slower and slower starter, even against, like, Luke Campbell, who he shouldn't need to start slow with. But if Lomachenko maybe started work rate being upped after the third round, maybe, I think this fight could have like gone either way, like a draw. Loma could have nicked it. Tio could have nicked it. So, to me, that's not a decisive fight, Kimo. Like, that victory for Teofimo, it's not decisive. He didn't decisively beat him. It wasn't like a one-sided beatdown or a one-sided 120, you know, 108 type of fight.
It doesn't. That's not the definition of a decisive victory.
Do you have to win by 12 rounds for it to be decisive?
You don't, but you have to show enough where it shows that you dominated the other person. I don't think Teofimo dominated Lomachenko.
So are you equating dominance with decisiveness?
I think they're kind of parallel to each other.
I think dominance is way stronger of a word than decisive. I think
I use the word dominating, but yeah, whatever.
I use dominate in the bedroom, but not so much when it comes to boxing. But when it comes to decisiveness in boxing, Cam, I think if you win 7 rounds, clearly you decisively won the fight. So maybe that we just have a difference in interpretation. But I don't know. Like, Cam, I understand what you're saying, because I know it's really hard when you're a fanboy and your idols constantly let you down. Like Amir Khan, like Lupin, like Lomachenko. I'm kidding. I won't go down that path. But I just think it's hard to reconcile the fact, Cam, that you're saying that you think Lomachenko he lost the fight more than Teofimo won the fight for the first six rounds, and yet you still giving Teofimo credit. Like, I understand you could still give Teofimo credit, but by holding that position, I think you're just inherently not giving him enough credit. But you know, it seems like we're just not going to agree, so that's totally fine. But I will also agree with Kimo that, like, what else, like, naturally, what else could Lomachenko have done? Like, if he started earlier, I think he would have given Teofimo so much more openings when Teofimo was fresher in the early rounds to just catch him with something huge. And Teofimo did really well maintaining a certain pace, but you got to understand that this is his second, like, it's his third 12-round fight, but obviously the Comey fight only went 2 rounds. So this is the second time that he's ever gone 12. So you want to talk about a rematch and talk about Lomachenko giving him more openings? Dude, I think if he does that, there's a really strong possibility that he gets knocked the fuck out.
Lim, this fight did decent viewing figures, with it being on free or, well, you know, satellite TV, cable TV, whatever you guys call it. It did really good. Would that not persuade Uncle Bob to sit Teofimo down and say, look, after Lomachenko's recovered, let's do it on pay-per-view, give you a big bag of money? Or do you think Teofimo's not interested?
Yeah, I could see that happening. It would have to be for a big bag of money. It would have to be in front of a live audience and with pay-per-view. But, you know, I don't think Teo's really interested. And Teo just, I mean, you know how boxers are, man. They're stubborn. And we've discussed it. Lomachenko treated him like he was nothing. And the fact that he behaved in such a way to not give Teofimo any credit whatsoever, I think naturally is just going to incline him to not give a rematch unless the numbers are so staggeringly in his favor. It's kind of like Canelo versus Golovkin with the trilogy fight. You know, Canelo is a very stubborn guy, and I think Teofimo is the same exact way. Like, if you feel like you've been slighted by the opposition in the lead up to the fight, what's your greatest power? What's your greatest bargaining chip? Is to not give the other guy the fight.
Cam, not to open up the discussion once again, but I forgot one point which I wanted to add. And that's you talk about like decisiveness and Loma turning the tide. One thing I noticed that Teofimo did in this fight is every time Loma would have some success, which wasn't a lot, but every time he did, Teofimo would answer immediately. I fucking love that, because from a scoring perspective, it makes it really, really difficult to beat the guy, right? I really noticed that straight away. Like, he would answer, I mean, he wouldn't get careless, but he would answer immediately. So he never had a situation, for example, where Lomachenko were to, you know, have these very, very, for lack of a better word here, decisive rounds, right? Because Teofimo would always still be in there. He would always be firing back. This is why I consider it to be quite, you know, an easy victory to score for Teofimo, because he had a bunch of rounds which he racked up very easily, right? I think at least seven rounds. And then there were like a couple of maybe swing rounds here and there, and maybe a couple of rounds that you give to Lomachenko. You can aggregate that to maybe like four or five rounds for Loma, but those are not like clear-cut rounds. The rounds that Teofimo won were clear to me, right? But Teofimo was always firing back, man. I don't think he really took rounds off like some fighters do, like Canelo does, you know? Maybe like one or maybe two, but again, he sustained his pace very, very maturely throughout the fight. That's one thing I wanted to add. And it's going to make him very hard to beat, man. I honestly do not think that Loma can adjust quite a lot here. He just doesn't have the weapons here. He just doesn't. The style does not suit him.
I think it's also just, I think it's kind of a moot point because I love Loma. I think he's fantastic to watch, but he's 33 years old now. And like Cam mentioned, he's just gotten worse and worse and worse with each fight physically. And I mean, Teofimo's in his prime. He's 23 years old, championship experience, knowing that he can go 12 rounds with the number one pound for pound but guy, like just their career trajectories are going in different directions. So I think this is kind of it for Lomachenko. If he wants, if he somehow manages to get a rematch, I don't think it's going to go well. I think Teofimo would be like a plus or like a minus 350, 400 favorite in the fight.
So Lim, if they do go separate ways, what do you see next for both?
With Tio, I have no idea. And with Loma, I have no idea. As a Loma fan, I personally would want him to retire because I think his path of trying to get a rematch against Teofimo would be so arduous. And even if he does decide to fight at lower weight classes, knowing Lomachenko and knowing how competitive he is, like, do you think he would be satisfied at being even undisputed at 130 pounds when the back of his mind, he knows that he lost against Tio? Like when you base yourself on greatness and being the best, like it's really hard to take a step back and go back down to your lower weight classes.
Yeah. What do you think, Kimo?
I mean, as much as I've said that Lomachenko isn't going to have success in the rematch, I would be okay with it happening. One reason being to shut people like you up. Yeah. And I just think that it's going to be even more decisive. So I'd watch it. And I think it's a great fight. It was a great fight, by the way. It was a great fight. If I get that on my television screen, which reminds me, I have to get to that in a bit, but if I get this sort of level, this quality on my television screen, I'm a fucking happy camper. So I'm okay with a rematch. Is there anybody else who the fuck is in that division, Cam?
I could see Loma Robert going. Easter? The thing is, sometimes a defeat can humble you, and I could see Lomachenko not wanting to retire on an L, and I could see him being more eager to make a fight with maybe Tank at 130 if Tio doesn't want anything to do with the rematch. I could see Lomachenko wanting to go out on a high and maybe, because obviously it's funny with boxers, man, like it's what have you done for me lately club, and you know when Javante fought Gamboa we were all shitting on him and he looked terrible, and then you know, this past weekend he knocked out Leo and looked amazing, and opposite with Lomachenko, at times he's looked amazing and he's looked almost fucking unworldly. And after the Tio fight, people saying he's shot and he's not the same, and
So who's saying that? I'm not saying that.
I'm not saying you have. I had seen it on like Twitter, but you know, it's Twitter for you.
Yeah, but people are fucking dumb, man. Look, Twitter says so much dumb shit. People can never take the middle ground in Twitter. Honestly, it's always the opposite end of extremes, right? People can never just say like, oh, it was a great fight between two high level guys. Oh, and the best man won. We cannot say that. No, one guy is shot. One guy is fucking brain dead. One guy is injured. We can never just accept, you know, yeah, as boxing fans that we saw a great affair. There is nothing wrong with Lomachenko. There's nothing wrong with Teofimo. These are two fucking high level guys that went in there and did the business. And we should be goddamn happy about that, which is the point I wanted to bring up 5 seconds ago. Like, dude, the fact that this fight happened, you know, bless them, and especially Teofimo Lopez, because he did not have to take this fucking risk. He took a huge risk at this age. We've seen many guys.
I think you have to give Loma more credit.
Well, both. They made the fight together, right?
Didn't Loma give Teo more money?
Yeah, when there was a...
This I don't know.
Yeah, when there was, I think there was an issue in the purses, and Teo felt his was a bit light, I think... Lomachenko give a portion of his towards Teo.
Yeah, so we got to give Lomachenko credit.
Yeah, so the fact that people are forming these dumbass opinions, Cam, fuck them, honestly. Like, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, but for me, if there's no Lopez rematch and there's no Javante fight, I'd be happy if Loma just hung him up, man, because he's had an amazing amateur career, amazing professional career, and he's done enough for the sport, I think.
He's going to age rapidly, though. Huh? We see that at guys at this weight class. We see it with guys that rely on athletic ability. When you're getting in those beginning 30s already at these weight classes, you start deteriorating quite quickly. So,
yeah. And obviously, we don't know how he's going to react after his shoulder surgery, so that could play a big part.
One of the first things to go, Cam, as you and I both know, is the legs, right? So it's he has such a style that is so reliant on that, right? So it's very rare that you have a freak like Pacquiao who can continue to do that. Even though, obviously, with Pac as well, when once he reached But come even on. Pac, we saw when he was 32, like he didn't have that. He started slowly, like, getting away from the crazy explosive, you know, footwork movement, right? It wasn't quite the same anymore. He became a bit more flat footed, a little bit more subtle. And this is probably what we're going to see with Loma as well. And Loma doesn't have those calves, you know?
And Loma doesn't even have his Pacquiao's frame. Dude, Loma's torso is so tiny. That's crazy, dude. It's like the size of my fucking, like, thigh. He's such a skinny dude, man. Like, I was shocked. Because I remember after the Comey fight, people were talking about Teofimo, like, being shorter than Loma. And he might be, like, a centimeter shorter than Lomachenko. But if you compare their torsos, like you alluded to earlier, like, on the TV screen, it was just shocking. Like, two of Lomachenko's torsos equal Teofimo's torso.
You know, I found the legs as well to be quite different on the TV, right? Like, Loma's not a guy who has, you know, particularly big legs, but uh-huh. when you see them next to each other, it's just like, woof.
Yeah.
It looks imposing from Tio's side.
Just two things. Tio, I love, like you were talking about, that paw jab. He does it really well in the shoulder, and it's kind of like his Philly show stance. He'll throw like he'll pull out his jab and he'll hit like Lomachenko with like the side of his wrist almost. But he does that to blind his opponents to throw that straight right hand to the body, which I really like. And I love his catch and shoot, man. I think Tio is such a good catch and shoot shooter, whether it be a catch with his right hand to a straight right or a catch, to a right uppercut. I love it. So good for him, man. And we got to give Tio props too, man. He's like the younger generation of fighters, Cam, who's not an idiot. Like, he likes to box, he's all about his family, and he just goes about his business, you know? He doesn't talk all that shit. So, and he's undisputed, by the way, for people talking about or trying to argue that he's not the real WBC champ because Devin Haney has it from an email from the WBC. Just stop. He's not a real champ, so Teofimo was undisputed. Come on.
Kimo,
he beat the guy, so he is the guy.
Kimo, you made a point earlier about something about boxing being on your TV. What did you mean?
Sorry, which point was that?
I don't know. You said I'll come back to it later, but it was something about boxing on your TV.
No, it was more about like just in general the inability to make the necessary fights in the sport, right? So this is why I'm saying like we should be, again, it's a little bit different with Teofimo because he's so young, right? But we should be happy and grateful that we see a fight like this, and we should be able to digest it in an appropriate way and not go full retard afterwards on Twitter, right? There was no controversy in this fight, right? The right guy won. The scorecards were whatever, within certain reason, right? Just fucking enjoy it. Be happy. I don't understand why people, and maybe it's Lomachenko, because there are certain guys in this sport that makes people go full fucking retard. Lomachenko is one. Golovkin is definitely Golovkin. One.
and we won't talk about from who, but we know exactly who that fan base is.
Exactly. Canelo is also definitely one.
But not to the same degree. Yeah, because they know he's Mexican, so.
Yeah. But there's a lot of people that just cannot deal with certain fighters just having a great fight, right? It's like the same with Golovkin Canelo too. It was a fantastic fight. I had so much fun. I enjoyed it. And then you go on Twitter and you see everybody just going batshit fucking crazy, and it's like, what are you complaining about exactly? Like, oh, your guy didn't get the right scorecard. Like, suck my fucking dick. You need to calm the fuck down and have a drink and relax, right? You're not in his corner. You're not getting a paycheck out of this. Chill out. So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about Deontay Wilder's gloves later, so we can reconvene on this subject.
But just about boxing being on TV, the UK have got a big problem at the moment. Like, Lomachenko, no broadcaster picked it up. The online company Fight TV picked that up for £10 pay-per-view price in the UK. And BT Sport have agreement with Top Rank to air their fights, and they didn't pick it up. Sky turned it down as a pay-per-view, but yet they'll put other shit on pay-per-view.
What happened to your Box Nation subscription?
I cancelled that a couple of years ago when the quality of the fights just went downhill. Obviously, Sky at the moment play most of what DAZN's doing. BT have got a deal with Top Rank, and I think that deal was separate, or they didn't get all the fights through Box Nation, so it got really awkward. And Box Nation just didn't have the amount of quality fights anymore. But Javonte versus Leo, that was picked up by Channel 5, so big up to them for picking it up for free at 2 a.m. in the morning. But generally, just BT, like I said, they didn't pick up Lomachenko versus Lopez, even though they have an agreement with Top Rank. But apparently, they're going to be having Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr. on pay-per-view. So it's like they pick up the bullshit, but they don't pick up a future Hall of Famer and a rising young gun. It's ridiculous at the moment. Like,
yeah, but does that surprise you?
Yeah.
Come on.
I don't know. It's just a shame, though. Like,
it is a shame. But we know how stupid people are.
That's fair.
It's like at the presidential election in America.
Yeah. Come on. Kev, who was doing the commentary for Channel 5?
They just had the international stream, so it was that commentator. It was the ring announcer guy, Ray Flores.
Oh, he's the worst.
He's awful. Oh. He's terrible.
Bro, he is. Oh my gosh, man.
And he's on his own. And I think when commentators are on their own, I think it's always a bit worse. Like when you have someone to bounce off. Like Kimo mentioned Sergio Moro before, and I totally agree. But Sergio has a decent banter with Todd Grisham or Chris Mannix if he works with him. And that kind of, you don't mind it because it's like, you know, shooting the shit with your boys. You're having a bit of a laugh. Like when we have discussions during when a fight's going on and stuff. It's just a bit of shit talk. So I don't mind Sergio Moro, but when a commentator's on his own, it's just horrible, man. Especially if he's shit.
Especially when it's Ray Flores.
Yeah, exactly.
That guy's such a dweeb. He's such a fucking loser. He's like a guy who lives in his mom's basement and like just tries to like speak in a way that nobody talks. Like the perpetual prana is just so fantastic. It's like, bro, you're talking to fucking boxing fans, man. You think they know what these fucking words mean? Like, you can tell he's a guy who just looks at like a thesaurus and looks at all of the synonyms to like think of like the biggest words that he could possibly use. I hate that shit, man. You're talking to boxing fans. Just use basic fucking words, dude.
Agreed. All right, let's move on. Chemo, what fight or card do you want to talk about next?
What do I want to talk about next?
Estrada?
Yeah, well, let's talk about that fight, Cam.
That card was good. The whole card was good.
To keep our energy levels high, because that fucking fight was fantastic. And I didn't notice this fight. Like, I was out of the country. I was traveling. I had a wedding to attend. I didn't even know this shit was going on because I totally forgot about it.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what's happening.
You know where it took place? In what city?
Wasn't it Mexico City?
Yes, Distrito Federal.
Oh. Man, it was beautiful. Tremendous. By the way, a side note, I watched, Tank versus, Leo on a Mexican, broadcast. Fucking fantastic commentary, by the way. I didn't even know half of what they were saying, but they went lit. They went lit more, but they went lit during the fucking knockout. Holy shit. It was amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, actually, it's not that hard to understand, Liam. They just keep yelling like, guerra, guerra. And like, it's fine. Like, you can kind of get what they're saying. So my Spanish understanding is not that bad. You know, don't let that little taco incident in Las Vegas, skew your judgment on me, huh? Where was I? Oh yeah, so Cam, I didn't really, you know, it kind of flew by, and then I watched it actually today. Finally, I found an HD version of it, and what a great fucking fight! And these are two dudes that are sort of known sometimes for having lesser output and stinking up the joint. More a Cuadras as opposed to Estrada, yeah. Even though I've been upset with Estrada in the past as well, where he just doesn't let his fucking hands go, and I get so upset.
Yeah.
But here, man, it was honestly like a reincarnation of Marquez. Honestly, like, he got hit on the fucking chin, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, you want to go?" And he just fucking went. You know, like,
let's go, bro. Shit. Let's go.
Yeah, but this is what happens with, this is what Marquez used to do all the time, right? He needs to be woken the fuck up, get hit on the chin, get dropped, and then he would start firing off these like insane combinations. And they have the exact same fighting style, right? Which is fucking beautiful to watch. I didn't expect him to fucking stop him at the end, man. That came out of left field for me. He was getting hurt here and there, obviously, but like to just end him like that. Fucking beautiful, man. What a climax to an amazing fight. Props to both guys. I'm not a fan of Cuadras' style. I think he's a bit sloppy, but he is effective. And I was a bit shocked that he was able to drop Estrada as well, because his punches always look like arm punches to me. There's something not right with the way his footwork and his technique. It's just weird. But he throws a fuckload of punches. I think one of the differences here between the Cuadras that I'm used to seeing and this one is he got a bit tired, man. And I remember always talking with Nyota about this guy, that he has this like, you know, unstoppable stamina, but he had his mouth open like in the sixth round. He slowed a little bit. And yeah, Estrada is just one of those guys that just doesn't force his punches, right? He can do this for 20 rounds because everything is so fluid. It's not forced.
Effortless.
And yeah, it's effortless, man, which is exactly how Choco fights too, which is why they both match up so beautifully. But yeah, great, great, great fucking fight. It's a goddamn shame that we had Sergio Mora and no crowd. Imagine that shit would have been in Mexico City with a crowd. Oh, man, it would have been beautiful. But yeah, we're blessed that we got to see it.
Yeah. Lim, did you see this? Because that will depend on how I'm going to answer.
Why? Why would me watching the fight or not affect your answer to the question?
Just give me an answer, then I'll tell you.
I did watch it, actually.
Okay, then.
You saw the fight?
Yeah, I saw the entire card. I saw the Chaco fight, too.
You must have been bored, bro.
No, it was because you remember, Cam, I was thinking about going, flying out to Mexico City to watch the fight. And then I found out that the fight took place in a television studio in Mexico City. But yeah, I watched the fight. Yeah, I mean, I watched it too because we watched the first one, right?
We were at the first one at the StubHub, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I watched that fight though.
What, you didn't rewatch it?
No, I didn't watch it, even though I was there.
You were on your phone.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. I was just checking out the fly Mexican chicks.
That's understandable because there were many of them. But okay, so the reason I asked that question initially is because we had a conversation a few weeks ago after Zepeda versus Baranchuk, and you said you don't really like those type of kind of street ball fights where skill goes out the window and it's just it just becomes swinging arms. Like, does the same apply to this fight, or is it different because you know the skill level of both fighters?
Yeah, it's because I know the skill level of both fighters, because I know that Quadras, like Kimo, I really don't like Quadras' fighting style, but it's one of those rare occasions where you have to give the guy credit because he's fought in elite competition, right? I mean, how did he do against Rung Vasai again? Did he win?
No, but it was
close,
he held his own, yeah?
Mm.
Yeah, so like with that being said, you know like how effective he is. And then with Estrada, like, you know, he's like elite level talent when it comes to just his technical abilities. So I think this is more of an occasion where it wasn't so much the lack of skill that caused the two guys to just brawl and throw, you know, technique out the window, especially for Estrada. I think it was more of knowing that Quadras can get this out of even high level fighters. So, you know, this is like a different situation versus like seeing like the third guy, on an undercard of like some random, you know, like town hall boxing match, and just watching those two dudes go at it. So this is different.
Yeah, I loved it, man. Like, it started off a quite decent technical fight, and then, like Kimo said, as soon as Estrada got dropped, he's like, "What, bro? Fuck that!" You know, like, he went all out on it, and it did become a bit of a war. And I was saying to Lim a few weeks ago, where we'll get to Baranchuk and Zepeda in a minute, but Lim doesn't really like those fights, but I watch them like I'm watching a Fast and Furious movie. Like, I don't expect like high level skill and, you know, like an Oscar nominee performance. I just, it's almost like not background TV, but something where you can just switch off your brain and enjoy it for what it was. And Estrada versus Quadras 2 didn't turn into that type of fight, and I enjoyed it, but it did still have like bits of high level skill, which I also appreciated. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it now because Roman Gonzalez got past his fight, which also was a very fun fight on the undercard. I'm really looking forward to the rematch between rematch between Estrada and Roman Gonzalez, man. Chocolatito, I think that's going to be amazing. Something to
Cam.
Yeah.
You know what gives me a massive boner in boxing, and Canelo does this too. But this is something that just really tickles my pickle. Like when somebody has their guy hurt, right? So when Estrada had him hurt, badly hurt, when he starts throwing like aggressive fucking body punches to follow up. This is something that it satisfies me so much, because a lot of guys in boxing, when they have their guy hurt, they start headhunting, right? And all the times the guy's wobbly and waving left to right, and they start missing, and they're just like, oh, you're not taking advantage of the opportunity, right? But when fucking Estrada has had Quadras hurt, he just starts firing like triple left hooks to the body. It's just so fucking great. Really, really love that, man.
And his left hook to the head and body is beautiful, man. He throws a really good left hook.
This is to me why I love this fucking sport. And this is something that I do not see in MMA, right? This is something exclusive to boxing for me. Like when people just start barraging those fucking left hooks to the body, a la Canelo versus James Kirkland. Oh, man,
Canelo versus who's that 168 pound bum he fought?
Rocky, oh, Rocky from Stucky.
Liam Smith.
I don't care what you tell me. Those are Canelo's most beautiful body shots that I've seen in a fight. Beautiful.
I just love it. I just love it when they do it as a finisher, because it's so, like, the guy is already all over the place, so he stumbles. So the impact on the, when you look at it, is already much greater, you know? Like, you just see them fucking wince when those fucking pounding punches go in the gut. Yeah. Oh, man, it's...
Even Triple G, man. Triple G was an incredible body puncher.
It's crazy how he just stopped doing it.
Macklin in half.
What was that, Cam?
It's crazy how he just stopped, though.
Yeah, you wonder what happened. We'll talk about that later, because... we can talk about Canelo being a free agent too, Cam. But I'm wondering how that's going to affect his matchmaking moving forward.
I think he was just scared of accidentally going low on Canelo, man. You could break your wrist on that fucking snake.
No, but even before Canelo, like the Jacobs fight and a handful of other fights, like Golovkin just stopped targeting the body.
Yeah.
Yeah, he became a jabber.
The Macklin was crazy, man. That's the cleanest body. That might be the cleanest body punch off. Cleanest body punch knockout that I've seen.
I actually watched that the other day. You know, like YouTube does like suggestions of stuff you've been watching recently. That popped up and I enjoyed that once again.
Was it cleaner than Charlo's jab to the banana?
Oh, we need to get into that. I think he threw that fight, man. I think he had some money on himself to get knocked out on that
round. What was that? Either that was a very good acting job or just a jab from hell.
Well, let's get into that card then. The twin Charlo doubleheader pay-per-view with a gap in between, because there was a UFC event going on, I think, but,
by the way, I'm talking shit, but I've actually been dropped several times by a jab to the body in the gym, so I shouldn't be talking shit.
But were you convulsing like Banana Man?
But that was a very good acting job. Like, he was like almost like spasming on the floor. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And it came out of nowhere. That was the weird thing. Maybe he just got lined or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Let's go to our Lions only expert, Lim. What did you think of both Charlos?
Jamal looked good. I've always preferred Jamal over Jamal. I think most people do. Jamal is like pound for pound to me. Like, he's in that upper echelon, like top 10, top 15 level of fighter. He just does everything really well. Like, he's a very like short, concise, compact, puncher, which is kind of surprising given like his size. One thing that's crazy about Jamal is that he used to fight at 54 and yet he looks bigger than most of these like full-fledged middleweights. Like, he looked way bigger than fucking, Pirog, which I thought was really fascinating. I'm kidding, not Pirog, but, Derevchenko.
Just to pull you up, I actually think Derevchenko's a kind of small middleweight. I think he's one of those guys that's stuck between 154 and 160, but sorry.
No. That's actually a good point that you mentioned that, because that completely, you just corrected what I had to say. But even then, I still think Jamal would be like, if Jamal fought, you know, like Triple G, I think Jamal would be not considerably, but I think he would be the bigger fighter in there. I just think he's really big for that weight class. But yeah, I like Jamal. I like everything that he throws. His uppercuts were really nice against him. This is another fight, Cam, where we can talk about dominate versus decisiveness. Like, sure, Jamal won probably 7 rounds, but it was very decisive. And I just thought he controlled and negated everything that Sergey did. He has a fantastic jab. And everything that he throws is just very technically sound. So if Jamal ever gets the opportunity to fight somebody like Canelo, I think Jamal is going to be the second best, at that weight division.
And what about Jamel's performance against Rosario?
Jamel is a headhunter. He's not a smart fighter. So
did you think that finish was a bit dodgy? Him.
A good boxing IQ, and he, I mean, if you take out the knockdowns, which I know is very difficult to do, I think you can argue that he was losing that fight against Banana just based on his inactivity. So yeah. I don't think he's a very good fighter, unfortunately. And I don't think he has much power as I thought he did when he knocked out that one guy. And who did he knock out? What was his name, Kimo?
Jermell?
He's trying to set you up for Erickson Lubin joke.
Oh, the future Errol Spence on steroids, basically. Yeah.
I think Cam said he was a better version of Errol Spence.
I predicted the car crash, so maybe a better version of Errol Spence after the car crash.
Oh, God.
Wait, what? You predicted the car crash? Is this for real?
No, I'm joking. But regarding the Charlo's chemo.
No, I thought after the Lubin fight, Cam, I thought Jermell was going to, I thought he was that dude, man. And I thought he was going to like just take over because I thought his power was scary. And I don't think he has scary power. I just think he's a decent power puncher.
I was pretty disappointed with Jermell's performance. I think he was leaping in with wild left hooks, putting himself off balance. The right hand as well, he would throw it and miss it and then put himself off balance. He doesn't look as comfortable going backwards as Jermell does. Like, I never thought Jermell was a good backwards fighter, but he really impressed me against Sergey. He really controlled Derevchenko from the outside, and anytime Sergey tried to get in, like, he would give him a big punch that which would make him tentative to try and get in again. Where Jermell, like, he doesn't look comfortable. Sorry, Jermell, he doesn't look comfortable on his back foot. Like, it doesn't look natural to him. But as I said to Kimo before, I definitely think there was something dodgy about our knockdown. I honestly think he threw that fight, you know. I honestly think Rosario threw that fight.
Do you think he meant to throw it away in the round in which he lost?
Yeah, I think there was money on that round to get knocked out. Because the thing is, Lim, like, when you look at the replay... Sorry to cut you off. When you look at the replay, his elbow catches most of the punch. So I'm thinking, well, why are you in such major pain? That shit was dodgy, man. Anyway, Kimo, what did you think of both Charlo's performances?
I don't know, man. Like, I have very mixed feelings with the Charlo's. I'm with Lim on the energy, you know, and the interviews. Like, that is very exhilarating, and I enjoy that. Jermell has always been the less offensively gifted guy, right? So apart from him icing Lubin, I've never really been that impressed with him, to be honest. And that fight was, yeah, it was competitive while it lasted. I agree with you, Cam, that something was really, really off about that KO. I don't know what was going on there. Maybe it was an injury that happened earlier or something like that. I don't understand. I just don't understand. And I actually liked the Banana. I was kind of fucking with him in the beginning, but that was a major turn off. Jermell is the more talented guy. It was a decent fight. I wasn't really that entertained. I want to see the Charlos in just bigger fights. I want to see a Canelo fight. I want to see a Jacobs fight. These fights don't do it for me anymore, man. We've been looking at these guys for a long time. They've matured now. They're established. I want to see a big fucking fight. Come on, let's go. I'm tired of fucking waiting. Instead, we're getting, who the fuck is Jacobs fighting again? He's fighting some bum, isn't he? Rosado. Yeah, he's fighting,
Gabe Rosado.
Rosado. Yeah, well, what are we doing, guys? Come on. Make a fucking goddamn fight happen. Like, I know Derevchenko is a decent guy, but this is not what I'm looking for at this stage, right? I want a goddamn big fight.
Derevchenko actually is a good fight for Charlo, but that says more about his resume, his past resume, probably, than the matchup itself.
But look, it's not a passable fight. It's not a sexy fight. It's a passable fight, right? It's not fighting Rosado, but come on, we want something a bit more spice at this point. So yeah.
But if it's not Derevchenko, then who is it?
Well, I just said it. I gave you two names, right?
Yeah, but I don't agree with I don't agree with Jacobs. I think Derevchenko and Jacobs is actually pretty like it. I think it's a pretty. I don't think there's that much of a difference between the two.
Mm-hmm.
I think there, at least in terms of like maybe sex appeal, there's more sex appeal on Don Jacobs. You get that black on black action.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of quality of fighter, I think they're pretty similar.
First of all, Jacobs has a much better resume than him. Jacobs is a champ. I think Jacobs is a more talented fighter, even though I've taken massive shits on him in the past. He's got better experience. Yeah, it's just a better fight. Yeah. And isn't there a little bit of beef going on between these guys as well?
Yeah, I mean, okay. I'll concede that, but...
I mean, come on.
Come on. What about Andrade? Would you guys want to see Andrade versus
Yes. I'm glad you forgot and you mentioned that because I forgot. Yeah. Andre, the pirate, whatever you want to call him, bring it. Another great fight.
Yeah, I want to see Charlo versus Canelo though. So that'd be a great clash of cultures.
The cultures.
Seriously. I'm serious.
H-Town versus the
Yeah, you can have Ocho Cinco on Jamal's corner and you could have fucking Maluma in Canelo's corner and just like the battle between Mexicans and the blacks, man.
Can we talk about that Ocho Cinco interview that you sent to me?
Yeah, bro.
That was single-handedly one of the greatest fucking hype videos I've seen in a long time.
Yeah, but we'll see, man. And nothing else from me, Cam. You got anything else, Chen?
Nothing regarding the Charlos. Okay, moving on. What else we got?
Peaky.
Touched upon it earlier. Zepeda versus Baron Chuck Kimo. What a great fight, man.
Ski. He took me ski,
actually. Cam, it was almost like cartoonish how wild it was, man. it's just fucking loco, that fight. But Baranchek is, you know what really surprised me about this guy? Is when he gets dropped, right? And then he gets up, most of the knockdowns, it's like nothing happened to him. He's just like, oh, let me just get up and fucking take some more punches to the face. Like his legs wouldn't really be gone. It's like he just continued to get knocked down, get up, get knocked down, get up. And then at one point, you know, it's like somebody just pulled the plug out of him. You know, like the battery was done and yeah, he was just out. So not nutty fucking fight, but obviously both guys are not really, you know, to be elites, but great, great Sam, fucking entertainment.
Where's Baranchuk from?
He's from Belarus.
Oh.
Which is, in certain countries, they call that White Russia.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that in a racist way.
There's only European country that also still uses the death penalty.
This might be true, actually. Where did you hear about that?
You probably Google it.
I was just studying. No, I was actually just studying the death penalty here in America because we still have it, unfortunately. And the only European country that still also implements it is Belarus.
Oh, wow.
So.
Kimo, let me give you this question. We're going to touch upon White versus Povetkin later on, but we've had that fight. We've had Baranchuk versus Zepeda, and we've just past week had Leo versus... Leo versus Tank, and we mentioned Estrada versus Cuadras as well. If boxing stopped again today, we went into a lockdown and there was no boxing until next year, which of those or any other fight that I've not mentioned would be your fight of the year, and which would be a knockout? Maybe take Estrada out of it for a knockout because it wasn't on the level of the others, but so far, what's your fight of the year and knockout of the year?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I think fight of the year is Teofimo versus Loma for sure.
I think the
fight of the year in terms of just stakes,
quality.
And what it said about the landscape of the fight world, of the pugilistic practice.
Pugilism.
Cam, it has to be the Baronchek in terms of just sheer like wild fucking factor. That definitely has to take the cake. For my own vested interest, it might be the knockout of Dillian Whyte.
Yeah, like if you compare the Dillian Whyte knockout to the Leo and Tank knockout, I would put the Whyte one above it for me personally for knockout of the year.
Knockout.
Because it's Dillian Whyte.
Yeah, one is Dillian Whyte.
You have to take your biases out of it though, Cam.
Sorry?
Just in terms of pure, if you had to take your bias out of it, which one do you think was a better knockout?
I still think it's the Whyte Povetkin one. The reason being is because around earlier, Povetkin was almost out of the fight. He had been dropped twice, I think, and shaky and looked like he was about to get stopped in the fifth, and he just turned it around and iced Whyte. With the Tank one,
try to separate two things.
With the Tank one, I expected Tank to stop Leo. I didn't know he would do it so decisively and aggressively, but I expected a stoppage where I was unsure of how the Povetkin-Whyte fight was going to go.
Yeah, but that, to me, that almost like skews more towards like the narrative and the enjoyment of like the ups and downs of the fight. Whereas when I think of a knockout, I try to isolate the punch, just the punch, how it landed and how it folded the other guy.
I think the narrative is important though for a knockout of the year.
I think it can be, but to me, the thing that I still prioritize is the punch. And to me, that uppercut was just prettier.
Of course it was. The Tang knockout aesthetically was way better.
I don't know. I'm a short uppercut guy, and he really boloed that uppercut. And I'm not a big fan of big boloed uppercuts.
I mean, dude, it's a knockout. Knockouts are about bolo shots, though. I'm not saying that they have to be, but the Tank's uppercut too was, again, it wasn't just like a wild shot, man. The way he slipped Leo's right hand and kind of like faked it to the body and then changing the angle of the punch to go uppercut, I thought it was fucking beautiful, man.
Do you think he faked it to the body?
I do, because he was going to the body earlier in the fight. Tank has always been a wide puncher, so I think that was strategic.
What about you, Kimo?
No, I do think it was strategic, but Cam, you're just comparing two different things, man. You and I, when Whyte got knocked the fuck out, and like you and I both simultaneously lowered our pants, right? Like we were just so happy in that moment, and I think Leon did the same thing.
What did you guys do after?
That
cannot be discussed. And I think Leon did it at the same time as well. And then Ruth proceeded to like smack him in the face. But it's just like, it's just a great fucking moment. Right? It really, really was. And I'm not sure if I remember, but I hope there was some footage of Eddie Hearn as well while that happened. I remember him seeing him afterwards and just looking at it like, oh, this is fucking great, mate. Did it what? Just got knocked the fuck out. That's
great. But let's stay on that then, because obviously the rematch was... Sorry, Lim?
I was going to ask my bad, Kima, what's your knockout of the year?
No, it has to be Tank. Tank was the better. It was the more violent one and the more dramatic one. It's just a better punch. It was just... He took the guy's head clean off.
Sorry, Cam. What were you gonna say?
I've lost my train of thought. Yeah, Kimo. So the rematch was scheduled to happen in December. It's been pushed back now because Povetkin tested positive for COVID. But we probably will do it. No one is. We're unsure if we'll do a show before the rematch. But the rematch really intrigued me because I could see it going in so many directions, because obviously with the turnaround, now it's been delayed, it's took one of my preconceived notions out of it with it being time. Like, was the turnaround too quick for Dillian with him being severely KO'd? was the turnaround too quick for Povetkin with him being a bit older now and, you know, a lot of wear and tear on the body? Was it too quick mentally for Dillian? You know, being ISO badly, did he need more time to recover and maybe have an interim fight, which he probably won't have taken? He probably would have went straight into the rematch just because he didn't want to lose his position with the WBC. But also, would Povetkin go into the rematch overconfident, thinking, you know, I knocked him out, I'll probably do it again? And how many times have we seen a rematch where the knocker out, like, looks for one big punch and just gets boxed and loses the fight? Would White have, you know, nightmares about that knockout and not be the same and just get knocked out again? Like, there's so many variables that I was interested in. Like, what's your take on the rematch?
My take on the rematch, definitely too soon. I don't understand that decision. But I'm pretty sure it came from some sort of, you know, delusional attitude in Dillian White's team, where like, oh, he was winning every second of every round until that knockout happened. It was a complete fluke. Let's redo it. But you cannot discount the effect of such a KO, right? It has effects on you physically. It will have effects on you mentally, your confidence in the fight. Knowing that somebody can do that to you changes the entire dynamic, right? So yeah. I wasn't a big fan of it. No, not like that, right? That's dangerous. It, like AJ, for example, taking the Ruiz rematch, he got stopped, but he didn't get completely fucking shattered, right? And it was sort of a back and forth. And I could see like, okay, you know, you want to do it. Still very risky, but okay, I get why you want to do it. Here, it's like, dude, you need some time. You really, really got fucking, you had your lights shut off, right? So I found it a bit of an irresponsible rematch, if I'm honest. But yeah.
What do you think, Lim?
If he gets slept once again, I'd watch, you know.
Limmy's muted.
Oh, sorry, Cam. Isn't Dillian White one of these guys who just like doesn't really care about boxing? I mean, when I think of him, I just think of a guy who just wants like the biggest fights, most money as possible, in which case a rematch would make sense.
I'm not sure about that, to be honest. I know he manages fighters now as well, so maybe he's just more business-minded and just cares about the money, but he does come across as a fighter. Like, his resume isn't too bad. Like, there has been, you know, asterisks where we're like, what the fuck, why is he fighting Lucas Brown and why is he fighting this person? But overall, he fights decent opposition.
Yeah. It's kind of like, I mean, do you think it's similar to the AJ Ruiz situation with regards to the rematch?
In what sense?
In the sense that maybe it's potentially too much too soon, but also just the benefit of getting able to just get right back in the ring, have your motivation high, and even if your team might be kind of overinflating your performance in the original fight, like, you can chalk it up as a fluke. And if you do win, you could kind of think of it as, oh, that was just a blip on the radar. We got that taken care of. And I guess from that standpoint, it is kind of like the most efficient way to go about your career is just get directly back in the ring against a guy who just knocked you out.
I favor more on Chemo's side of the fence. I think, like, it's too much too soon, man. Like, icing like that, you need like 3-4 months until you maybe take a rematch.
So when is the rematch?
Well, initially it was supposed to happen next month. And the first fight was at the end of August, so it's quite
so early, man.
Yeah, it's quite a
quick
turnaround.
How do you even get medically cleared?
Yeah,
even here in the States, I don't think some jurisdictions don't even allow you to have a rematch until 6 months after. In some states, it's 9 months.
Wow.
After you get knocked out.
I didn't know that. But here, I'm not sure what it is. I think maybe it's 2 months after a bad KO, but that's just me guessing, to be fair.
That's crazy, man. Considering how little like doctors know about concussions and brain injuries and things like that.
Yep.
That's crazy, man.
And the UK in general seems to be quite conservative with these things, Cam. It really surprises me, to be honest.
Yeah, especially like when you see like the ring medical attendance, it's very good. Like doctors continuously check fighters between rounds, and they always put them on oxygen. Usually, if they've seemed to take a lot of punishment, like we mentioned Baranchuk, but I don't think the medical attention Baranchuk received after that KO was enough, man. Like, it seemed a bit half-assed, like they weren't even prepared. I don't know if you guys agree.
They let him on the floor for quite, I don't know what's the right thing to do. I'm not a fucking doctor, but, he was just lying there for a long time and the dude was just holding his cheek and just sort of staring at him. I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Like, you know what you need? You need to have like a fighter like Canelo who prays over you, like he's an American. That's how you help. That's
the brain. Dude, the way he knelt in front of the guy, like, he was just like, my God, I've killed him.
I seriously, even I'm getting tired of bringing up like all the shit that's just not favorable towards Cam. But the reason why I constantly bring up the Confight Cam is that it constantly shows up in my recommendations on YouTube. And you know what the crazy thing is? I think it's been uploaded under 3 different YouTube channels. So it's been uploaded under Golden Boy and then DAZN and then like some other like separate channels. So like I see the knockout like every other day on my YouTube.
YouTube knows you too well.
Yeah.
Yeah, your algorithm is just like fucking
thick.
Gone redhead. Crazy because you've watched it like 5,000 times.
Guadalajara.
Yeah. All right. Any other fights you guys want to talk about?
No.
Was there anything else, Cam? I'm trying to think.
I've got 2 that we can just quickly cover in a couple of minutes.
Okay.
I think Joe Smith versus Eleida Alvarez really surprised me. I thought Alvarez would beat Smith.
Saw that fight.
Yeah, Alvarez just really, like, I rated Alvarez for so many years because of his jab, the fact that, like, it was so good, but he barely used it against Smith, and Smith just kept walking him down and getting on the inside, beating away, banging at the drum, banging the head, and he just slowly beat him down and stopped him, man. Impressive by Smith. I think Alvarez is done now. Like, he's definitely lost something in that loss to Kovalev. He's not the same anymore. Like, he looks a bit soulless. But Joe Smith is an interesting character because he had that really good win over Sullivan Barrera and obviously B-Hop. And then he had that loss to... He had that loss to Bivol, and we thought, yeah, like, Smith's not that good, man. And then he beat Jesse Hart, which was a decent win. I never really rated Hart, but, you know, he beat him. He's probably the underdog in that fight. And then he stopped Alvarez, and in retrospect, I think that fight, that win Bivol got over Smith was a very good win. We look at it now and thinking, oh... So we looked at the time and thought, you know, oh, it's just Joe Smith, you know, he's not that good, he's a bit basic, Bivol, you know, done what he should have done. But looking back, man, like, it looks better on Bivol's resume of how he dominated Smith, looking to what Smith's done afterwards.
Did he stop him or did he win by decision?
He went a decision, but I think he broke his jaw in the process, so... yeah, so props to Smith, man. He's not a sweet science type of guy, but he's just the guy that gets on with it and fights top guys, and
he's a solid fighter, but it doesn't change. I don't think it should change how you view the Bivol fight in retrospect.
You don't think so? You don't think it's a better win for Bivol?
No, I never buy that kind of stuff. Like, why would somebody's performance after the fact change your perception of a fight that took place beforehand?
Because sometimes you can get skewed.
There's an argument that maybe Smith just got better. I mean, I know that's not likely, but it's a possibility. And like, what are the reasons why you would change something in hindsight? Like, do your eyes, can you not trust your eyes enough to just go off of what you saw in the fight when it happened presently?
It's not that for me. For me, it's more of sometimes you can make assumptions after the fact and think, you know what? Joe Smith, he was decent. He wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, but Bivol handled him like he should have handled him. But when that fighter goes on and and surprises you and does better than you think he should, you think, well, you know what? Maybe I overlooked him in that older fight. Maybe the guy that won it was actually performed better than I thought he did.
Should I play the game? I have no idea what you just said, but yeah.
No, I do. I know what Cam is trying to say. No, but what's the other fight, Cam, that you wanted to bring up?
Joshua Buatsi had his first proper test, I think. You probably didn't catch it, Liam. Maybe Chemo did. Actually, having said that, Chemo probably wasn't bothered either, but he fought a guy called Marko Kalic, and you know, his eye puffed up a bit. He couldn't really see out of it. He kept getting hit, but overall, he went out and got a stoppage. But I think it was a really good tester to see where he is, and he's just in a division where the top guys are really good, and I think it's going to be hard for him to grab a belt unless it's like a vacant or something.
I didn't see it, Cam, unfortunately.
But yeah, that's it really for me. For, you know, the post-lockdown re-emergence of boxing that we had, I think we've covered most of it. I don't know if there's anything else you want to add.
No, man. I'm just, I'm really interested in Canelo.
In what sense?
The fact that he's a free agent now.
Is that 100% confirmed?
Confirmed. It just got confirmed by Golden Boy.
So what do you see happens then?
There's a rumor that Canelo versus Plant is going to be next.
Is he going to self-promote or will he sign with someone?
That I have no idea. But I think the rumor mill is that he would do something with PBC. But my gut tells me that he's going to be a free agent, kind of like what Mikey did, like those one-off fights with various promoters. And I think that's always the route that I wanted Canelo to take. Like, how fucking badass is that, bro? If you're just a free agent and you could just fight whoever the fuck you want, that's so fucking sick. So yeah. They're talking about that. There's another rumor that Uncle Al has offered up like $30 million guarantees for Charlo versus Canelo in Texas. So,
oh, wow.
Like, that's the fun of it, man. It's like, it's not just the fights, but it's like the rhetoric now that we can have, and like the discussions and the dialogues that boxing fans can have, just because technically, because he is a free agent, we could just envision these fights that we knew just would never take place if Canelo was stuck at DAZN and Golden Boy.
So I've just pulled this up on Boxing Scene, and yeah, I'm shocked, but pleasantly shocked.
Yeah.
So, do you think his partnership with DAZN will still be a bit on the rocks, since like there's always been a bit of friction?
So, I don't know how that works, but I don't know how much of Canelo's contract. Like, I don't know if Canelo had an independent contract with DAZN, or whether his contract with Golden Boy had requirements. Like obligations that Canelo had to DAZN. Like, I don't know if he had two independent contracts.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's still remaining and like outstanding obligations that Canelo has with DAZN, but I just don't know to what extent.
That's very interesting, man.
But actually, I take that back. I actually don't know what that means, because I'm pretty sure Canelo signed like a 10 fight, $365 million with DAZN. So, like, that is actually a really good point. I still don't know what he still has to do with DAZN moving forward. But it should be interesting, though, because even though it is Golden Boy, that's his promoter, we all knew that DAZN was calling the shots.
Sorry, I'm just reading this. According to multiple sources with intimate knowledge of such talks, a soft date of December 19th was set aside for Alvarez to face either England's two unbeaten super middleweight titleists, Conor Smith and Billy Joe Saunders. With it came an offer of a guaranteed payday just north of $20 million plus a percentage of subscription generated from the one-off event. Sources informed BoxingScene.com that Alvarez and his team instead demanded to be paid the contractually specified $35 million, leaving the parties at a standstill. Wow, this is pretty sick, man. You know what, though?
So Liam, yeah.
Sometimes shit like this, you think that... it's like when, you know, when PBC took over and you thought you were going to get all the fights and you only got some of the ones you wanted. Like, you sound pretty confident, but can this be a situation where we don't get Canelo fighting anyone decent for a couple of years?
Yeah, so it seems like the way that this is phrased, Cam, it says that even though it doesn't mention anything about DAZN, it's the way that it's phrased is that Golden Boy released a statement that said, our lawsuit has been satisfied with Canelo, but our relationship with DAZN will continue forward with Golden Boy's existing talent. So it seems like Canelo is out of the picture with DAZN as well.
That's what I was thinking.
DAZN is fucking shot.
Yeah, but this is so fascinating, man. I'd love to see him in there with, like, Plant, Benavidez, fucking the Charlos, man.
So do you,
it'd be great.
Do you think DAZN will try and pursue Canelo in court to get back some of the money that they paid him?
I mean, what, for past fights?
I don't know how his contract worked. Were they paying him on a fight-to-fight basis for these 10 fights, or yeah, did they pay him up front?
Fight-to-fight. I'm pretty sure it was fight-to-fight because that was the issue that Canelo had with the Callum Smith fight, right? If Canelo already got all the money up front, why would he be complaining about money?
Yeah,
unless DAZN was asking him to refund the money, which I don't think it was, just based on the way that the conversations were phrased. I think it was an issue of Canelo not getting the money. So I think it was a per fight basis. I heard some ridiculous shit that like DAZN was labeling premium fights, and premium fights to DAZN was MMA fighters like Jorge Masvidal or Khabib. So they were saying that we would pay Canelo the full guaranteed purse to fight MMA fighters, and yet legitimate contenders like Callum Smith or Billy Joe Saunders, they would pay him a fraction of his guaranteed purse.
Yeah, that's some shit you settle at the beginning before you sign the contract. You can't be start pulling those type of terms afterwards.
Yeah, so. Oh well. But yeah, let's see, man. Canelo's 30, bro. Like, I know that's still kind of young, but it's actually a little bit older than I thought he was. And, like, I know I'm like a huge Canelo, like, cocksucker, but I think he's getting better. Like, I'll swallow, like, the whole thing if I have to, but I really think he's gotten better as a fighter.
And I don't think you're able to.
Okay, maybe I can practice, but all I'm saying is that he's gotten a lot better.
Let's start with half.
Three quarters. I think I can get 75% of it down. But he has gotten a lot better. I really think his body shots are just like the best in the game. And I think I would favor him against anyone from 160 to 168. And imagine if he just cleans out those divisions. Like, he'll go down as an all-time great.
Realistically, how many fights do you think he's got left in him?
A lot. Because I don't think his style, I think he can fight till he's like 35, 36 and still be really good.
So 10, 12 fights?
Yeah. Let him fight both Charlos so he can take over Texas. You know, he can be like a black Mexican in Houston. Let him fight David Benavidez to take over the Mexican Americans, because you know how like the Mexicans from Mexico and the Mexicans in America, they like to beef. I mean, fuck, you can fight my boy Caleb Plant. You know, I love my boy Caleb, but I think Canelo would beat Caleb, take over the white American fans. You know,
take everyone
and take over the Japanese, the Japs.
Just unify the whole races.
Unify the whole world and then become president of the United States.
Tremendous.
So. All right, should we talk about Deontay Wilder and his craziness?
Cam, I want to hear your opinion first.
I just when I saw this video, I was just shocked, man. Like he's in front of this city skyline, like it's got some piano music and it's almost poetic, like he's took a while to fucking write it, or more likely someone's wrote it. More likely someone's wrote it for him.
See how dumb he is, the fact that he took time to write it.
Or most likely someone wrote it for him.
He does have a knack for dramatics, doesn't he? He does.
Yeah, and then he's, you know, throwing all these accusations, and the video's all edited with like frames of the Fury's glove and little video clips of Fury and the fight and stuff like that, and I was like, fuck, man, this guy's lost it.
Yeah, he's fucking lost it, man. It might be CTE though, huh? Like, accusing your trainer who's been great to you of like poisoning your fucking water, of putting muscle relaxant in there. I mean, fuck me, man. Even if you believe this shit, why are you making it public? It's really, really sad, man.
It's like, he didn't learn from like the feedback he got after the excuse about the outfit. Like, it's come on, bro. Like, you need to just like stay out of the limelight for a couple months and just chill. Like, this makes you look like a laughingstock.
Well, he definitely looks like a laughingstock, but also, man, I always thought Deontay was at least a good dude. Okay. Like, you know, when you hear the story about him and his daughter and all of that, and you know, I never thought he was a bad guy. Barring, you know, the stuff about killing people in the ring, I never really took that serious. You know, it's trash talk, it's boxing, whatever. He's got that aura. He had this aura about him, right? That he was a devastating, like almost killing puncher. But to take a loss in your career like that and to come out with this conspiracy bullshit afterwards, like, it's one thing to say that you've got an injury, but to come up with all these things and throw your former trainer under the bus and take, man, like, I'm almost lost for words. It's just really, really sad. And I don't think he'll ever be the same again, frankly. I don't know when he'll get back in the ring, but I'm pretty sure when we see him back in the ring, his performance is also not going to be like he was in the past, man. Like, this is a changed dude. And it's from a mental perspective, it's really quite sad, man.
What do you think, Limmy?
Yeah, that's just, you know, the egg weights possibly being in the glove and, like, playing with the gloves in such a way that, you know, the gloves would become longer so that Fury could, like, flap wilder because he has longer range with his punches because his gloves are extended. This is crazy. And, like, it just shows you how stupid boxing fans are. Like, the boxing fans who are, like, in support of Wilder. And with these allegations, like, somehow, like, if you've ever put on a pair of gloves before and you had the gloves hover over your hands and not be placed positioned properly, to the point where, like, the gloves are, like, hanging off of your hands, that's terrible because you don't get any kind of power on your punches. Like, that's not what you want to do if you're a fighter. So to somehow think that was a strategic move on Fury's part just shows you that a bunch of these fucking boxing fans are just a bunch of pussies who've never laced up a pair of gloves.
I don't understand that theory either, by the way. Like, I've heard in the past people talk about, who was that guy? I think it was actually Mike Tyson who used to like punch the wall just to get his knuckles to drag through the fucking, cushioning, you know, in order to get more impact. I'm not sure if this was Mike Tyson or not, but I've heard people make accusations regarding these type of things, right? But like you said, to have your hand like sort of loose floating around in your glove, that's more of a recipe for a wrist injury, right? So I don't get it, man. It's really, really
they're
odd.
They're talking about like something about the glove scratching Fury's Wilder's ears to cause his eardrums to bleed. It's just like, it's such a bad look, man. I'm embarrassed for the guy. She first talked about like having a robot costume being the cause of his legs not having the bounce to perform, and now it's like his trainer poisoning his water with holy water or some shit. Like, this guy's a fucking clown. The way he talks about everything, like, as if he's a pastor. He's like, thou shall not do unto thee the spirit of thee, and victim of thy words shall have the power upon thee. Like, shut the fuck up, man. You're not a preacher.
He thinks he's Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
I could see him like retire and then like start some fucking over the top church in Alabama and, you know, like start fucking smacking people on the forehead, you know, like devil be go. You know, like, I can really see that happen.
Give him a big right hand and knock the devil out of him.
He's got a good speaking voice for it, you know, like he gets all into it and all hyped up and I can see him like shaking on the ground, like the Lord has taken me, you know, like he's a fucking nutcase, man.
To this day.
Right.
Yeah, and I can also see him taking like TV infomercial spots at 4 a.m. and selling like a gallon of holy water for 4 payments of $39.99. Don't get your holy water today. We guarantee shipment into 48 states. Just 4 easy payments of $39.99. Get yours now. We accept Bitcoin.
To this day. It's sad, man. It's really sad. And the thing is, like, when you're a guy who, you know, who has that sort of, well, he wants to have that aura of being the most intimidating guy in the business, right? And then you come up with these excuses. Like, come on, bro. Like, didn't he call himself the baddest man on the planet? Like, like you cannot call yourself that and then come up with this. It's one thing to say like, oh, my shoulder was injured or whatever. Okay, fine. But for these type of weird ass conspiracy theories, something is twisted in your head, man. But yeah, it does have some comic value though to it. So let's hope it continues for now. It'll be funny.
Is there
I'm not really interested in a rematch anyway, so fuck it.
Is there any other news or funny stuff you guys want to talk about?
What about, Cam, I actually wanted to do, are we going to do previews or are we going to close it off?
Yeah, we're going to do previews after this little kind of news segment.
Okay, as long as we do a preview of Connor Benn, I'm fine.
If you want to.
Yeah, you're laughing. That's a great fucking fight, bro.
I'll be honest, I've not seen his opposition. I know he fought Sean Porter this year, but I'm not seeing him fight, so I can't really
12
give.
12 fucking rounds.
So do you think he's going to beat Connor Benn or what?
I think it's going to be a gunfight.
Oh, shit. All right. Let's get into previews then. This weekend we got Haney versus Gamboa. I haven't really no need to want to talk about this fight unless you guys want to touch upon the email.
Trash. Yeah. Why is Gamboa tossed around like a cheap whore throughout boxing these days?
Bro, I feel bad for him.
What has he ever done to people, man? Yeah. Seriously.
I feel bad for him, man. He's just like, oh, throw Gamboa in there to get his head ripped off.
Is he getting paid for this shit? Does anybody know how much he's earning for this? Like, I never had something against the guy. I actually kind of liked him. So this is like terrible, man.
Yeah, I feel bad for him. But
remember when he got signed to 50 Cent?
SMS just fucked him up.
Jesus Christ, man. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, but yeah, forget that. But can we shit on Haney a bit? Like, I see the understanding about, okay, I'll fight someone that tanks for, I'll do better, and then, you know, it makes me look better because I perform better against him than Tank performed against him. But come on, man, there's better opposition out there for you to be digging out Gamboa.
It's a fucking terrible fight. It's a terrible look. Yeah, why would you fight this individual? There's no reason to have this fight. Zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Useless, waste of my time.
It's actually not a bad fight for Haney because Haney's opposition, his resume is so shit that this Gamboa fight is actually pretty decent for him.
No, but will it add to his, does this fight add to his resume?
It does because
I don't think it does.
Fucking shit.
But
if he knocks out Gamboa in 2 rounds, that's a W for Team Haney because look at his fucking opposition, bro. He's fighting cab drivers, man. So
he won't though because he's Devin Haney.
Well, if he does, dude, no, Devin's a talented fighter. Like, I hate to pull the Lukey card and be like, yay, dog, I box. But I've seen him spar, dude. Like, he's a talented fighter. So I think he's going to be a good fighter. But it's the fact that he's, like, promoting himself and trying to, like jump on the coattails of Teofimo and put himself in that position and, like, talking himself like he's some kind of legitimate champion because Mauricio Sulaimán send him an email stating that you're now the WBC champion. Like, that, like, dude, you need to just know your place, man. Like, you gotta know that you're a talented fighter, but you have absolutely no credibility because you haven't fought anybody and you can't sound like if it would be fine if he was quiet about it and he just went about his business and said in interviews, like, I know this Gamboa fight, you know, may not be pleasing to the fans, but for me, it's a big step up and I need to like capitalize on the opportunity. Like if he said that, it'd be perfectly fine. But the fact that you're trying to like compare yourself to like these higher level fighters like Tank or Teofimo, like you just can't do that because you're not a legitimate champion because like nobody knows the guy that he fought in his last fight and he looked like shit in his last fight. So, but again, we know why he's in the position that he's in because boxing fans love to promote like these young kids who just aren't that good at fighting. And I hate to say it, but boxing is such a racial sport that black fans will always be behind their black fighters. Mexican fans will always be behind their Mexican fighters. But this whole Devin Haney shit is just, it's ridiculous because the kid hasn't proven himself at all.
And Pakistani fans will always be behind Amir Khan.
So.
All right, let's move on to a decent fight that we got coming up. Where should we start? Kelly Brook versus Terence Crawford, Lim. You kick us off.
Oh, you know Kel? Kel is training here in Vegas.
Yeah, I read
that. Did you say Kelly Rowland versus Terence Crawford?
I said Kelly Brook.
Yeah, Kelly Brook.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Kel Brook is fighting Crawford. So actually, I saw him yesterday, Cam.
Where was he training?
So at the Capitillo gym here in Vegas. Capitillo was a guy who was the cutman for Tyson Fury when he fought Otto Whelan. So he looks good. I mean, he looks cut, but I mean, he's gonna get his ass whooped. So
wait, you saw Kel Brook?
Yeah, he trains out here in Vegas now. So.
That's pretty cool. You should have gotten a selfie with him, bro.
Yeah, nah. I don't want to make him feel bad, you know.
So he was in shape? He didn't have a fat head like he always does?
No, he's fighting at 47, man. So, you know, he's going to be ripped. But, yeah, it's going to be an early night. Is that undercard any good, Kim?
I don't think it is. I'm not really looked, to be fair. But,
okay.
While I look, Kimo, what do you think? And also, let's talk a bit about Kelly Brook and his falling out with Mr. Edward Hearn.
Oh man, I forgot to watch that interview that Leon sent to me the other day. It was sad.
I sent to you.
Sorry. Jesus Christ, vindictive bastard. But Kell Brook. I want to see him get his ass whooped more and more. He's a guy I don't want to retire. I want him to keep fighting until he's 40 and just watch him get his ass whooped. That's how much of a fucking sadist I am. Bring it. I want Crawford to fucking end this motherfucker. And I know you want it too, Cam. You probably have more dark thoughts than I do. You have some real dark thoughts about Kell Brook. It scares me.
He's a sick person.
I actually don't. I kind of feel bad for him. Like, I think after this, after he gets knocked out, I think he should just retire. I'm unlike you. I don't want him to keep fighting and just getting his head punched in.
We had this conversation on air before and you said something to the point of like, if Kell Brook gets like fucking, God, what did you say? I forgot, but you basically said if he would like get ended tomorrow, you wouldn't bat an eye to it. You'd just be like, yeah, whatever. So
maybe that was a young, irresponsible me. Like the new me is more mature and
that was a year ago.
a year more. Mature?
No, I just think you've got some dark thoughts. But that's okay, I have them too.
But yeah, most consensus would be Crawford stops him, but I think Kell could probably hold his own for a couple of rounds.
I think he will,
because you know how Crawford is, man. He has these fucking weird fights where he just doesn't engage.
Yeah.
Dude, we need to shit on Crawford, man. I can't believe people rank him pound for pound number one when he hasn't, when his resume is shit.
Lim would like one fight maybe against Spence or someone else. Would that put him up there? Or does he need a couple of fights to become like?
He's not better than Canelo.
No, I even agree. Like Canelo, you look at Canelo's resume. Canelo.
Yeah. Exactly. Boxing professor in the YouTube chat says, who's Crawford boxed? Nobody. And that's how I feel, dog. And I box.
Look, dog.
No, but seriously, his resume is shit, Kev. Remember we were going through his boxing resume a week ago? And he still has, like, fights against Ndunge and, like dog shit, man. Even his opponent's name sound like dog shit. Like, that's not a good look for you, bro. Like, you're fighting, like, these, like, B, C-level fighters. Like, I mean, when you think of Crawford, like, for me, if you're a pound-for-pound level fighter, you should have three, like, at least three quality names on your resume. Like, can you name three?
Go on, Cam.
Or anyone. Can anyone name three good fighters that Crawford has?
I think at the time the Postol win was decent because Postol was kind of up there. Yeah.
But, I agree.
Yeah. After that, it's pretty difficult. I think he beat down Jeff Horn, but most people thought Jeff Horn was shit, and he is shit, but he just had a good fight against Pacquiao. That's kind of what he'll be remembered for. But apart from that, Jeff Horn's not that good. And, yeah.
And he's the thing with Crawford is that we know the talent is there. I mean, I know how good Crawford is. That's why I favored Crawford against Spence even without the car accident. If they fought last year, I would have picked Crawford to win because I think he's that good. But until you prove it, man, you're just not at that level to me.
And to answer your question, Lim, I did get told actually that BoxRec and Top Rank were kind of beefing, so that might be the reason, but. At the moment, the event page for this fight only has Brooke versus Crawford and Joshua Franco versus Andrew Maloney, the brother of the other Maloney who fought in a way.
I thought the same Maloney was fighting me.
That'd be harsh. That'd be a too quick turnaround. But yeah, that's the only two fights listed. There must be others though, or maybe COVID's really restricting the opposition because so many fights have been cancelled because fighters have picked up the virus, or you know, like sometimes if the trainers picked up a virus, I know it happened to Peter Fury and he couldn't be in the corner for Savannah Marshall, so that fight got pulled until a different date. So it's definitely restricting how many fights we're getting, but. Yeah, I've not really got anything to add about Crawford versus Brook, so should we move on?
Do it, mate. Do it.
Fucking damn, Jason.
Are we shitting on Tyson versus Roy Jones, or are we just like putting it under the carpet?
Ignore, please.
All right. 5th of December.
I worked on that fight, though.
Say that again?
I worked on that fight.
That's why you should be ashamed.
You have no fucking soul.
Errol Spence versus Danny Garcia.
That's a good fight.
Can you do the Danny Garcia laugh, please, Lynn? I haven't heard it in so long. Yeah, that's a decent camp, but fuck Danny Garcia.
Yeah.
Who you got, though? Who you got?
I got Spence by decision.
I hope he stops Garcia, man. I'll be so happy.
I would love that, but it intrigues me this fight because I want to see how Errol is after the accident because I'm one that always is fairly vocal about guys that have interim fights that are not that good, but I would give Errol Spence a pass if he wanted to just test the water with the you know, a lower level opposition. But after the accident, he's gone in straight into Danny Garcia and I give him like major props for that. I just don't know how the fight's going to go because we don't know how Errol's going to react and how he's been after the accident. So it's difficult for me to kind of give an opinion. I'd love it if Danny got stopped. I just can't see it because as opposition qualities got better against Spence, like his knockout power is kind of not there anymore. I know he dropped Sean Porter towards the end of their fight, but Porter didn't really look too hurt. And having said that, Porter has got a decent chin, but I don't know. I probably think Spence by decision.
Yeah. Dude, when has Danny ever gotten hurt in a fight? Against Thurman, But Thurman's a big puncher, and he collected himself really well. Like, I don't think anybody at that weight division stops Danny, really, unless it's from like body shots or something. But Danny has such a solid chin.
It'll give out though one day.
Yeah, but I don't think he's not old enough, or he's not washed enough for it to go away, in my humble opinion.
I'll be waiting.
That day will be like Christmas and Eid and birthdays all rolled into one.
It'll be another Dillian White moment where, you know, I don't want to repeat what I said before, but you know what will happen.
Yeah.
Some perverse shit will go down in my apartment.
I mean, I love the Danny knockout of Amir Khan. Like, I think that was even better than the Canelo one, because we got to see Amir do the Bambi dance.
Dude, how good was that fight? That was a great fucking fight.
It was fantastic.
It was Boston such an act, man. Great. I love Khan, man. Khan's fights are must-see TV. Laughter against Khan! I mean, that is just that was classic.
Really, that was really poor matchmaking by Khan's team, too.
Wasn't that a late replacement? Who was he supposed to fight?
It was. It was a late replacement. But what I'm saying is they should have just waited.
Yeah, they didn't think. They just thought, oh, we'll just fight this guy. Right. Who was he supposed to fight, though? I can't remember. Who pulled out of the fight?
I don't know. I think that was his last fight with Freddie, right?
Yeah, it was with Freddie. Freddie was really struggling, I remember, in the corner as well, because he just couldn't, like, control Khan. But then again, nobody can when he's fucking hurt, or he does some really retarded shit.
I thought you were going to make a really fucked up joke about Freddie's Parkinson's.
No, but like, it's not fucked up. Like, he was struggling in the corner to be vocal. I remember that. It's not a fucked up. I'm not dissing him, but it was he actually got a lot better after that a couple of years later, but I remember during that time, he wasn't able to like be very vocal in the corner.
What was he trying to say?
If I remember, he was like trying to say like, you gotta keep your hands up, you know, but he wasn't like, he couldn't really talk loud, and Khan was just like, Khan was in la la land, man. He was just like, oh, I need to throw punches. I need to throw more. And he just like fucking started winging it. And then Garcia went fucking, yeah, he beat the shit out of him. What an exciting fight.
Is that fight even better for you because Halling was in commentary?
Yeah, of course. It's a classic Halling, but even the HBO version was fantastic, yeah. Like, I remember Lampley also did another great job. I'm not sure if our boy Larry Merchant was in there. I think he was.
I don't think I've heard the HBO version.
You should definitely hear the HBO version, Cam. It's really, really good as well.
In HD.
Yeah. Too much heart. Too much heart for Khan. Oh, that might have been Maidana. I'm not sure. But that's another classic. Right? Dude, back in those days, boxing was so exciting, man. When Khan used to fight, I used to have like fucking butterflies and be like, okay, some shit's gonna go down here. And it always did. That's the great thing.
Yeah, I think like 2008 to like 2013 were like the glory years.
Dude, I have never yelled so loudly at my screen during Khan Maidana. I was screaming like on top of the top of my lungs.
What were you screaming, so though? Excited. Were you eager for Maidana to stop him, or did you want Khan to just scrape through?
No, I was rooting for Khan back then because, one, everybody was against him, so that makes me sort of sympathize with the guy a little bit. And I was a Khan fan, man. I always enjoyed him, his fighting. Everybody always shat on him, but like, dude, if Khan was fighting, you would tune in because, again, highly entertainment, right? Highly entertaining. Drama. Exciting, you know, like it was just great in the ring, man. He was just fucking fantastic. And under Roach, he was so reckless because Roach, I don't know, like Roach just made him like a fun combination puncher, right? Like he became very boring under, what's his face?
Virgil.
The whisperer, but, yeah, under Roach, man, that body shot that he hit Maidana with. What the fuck was that? Like, that was beautiful, man. Oh, I miss those days, Cam.
They were the good old days. going then. The floor is yours if you want to talk about Conor Benn, but I'm still kind of think you're trolling, but go ahead if you want to.
I am a bit trolling. Look, the guy, I did a little bit of research on his opponent. Yes, he went 12 rounds with Sean Paul, but he is a very stiff, jab-focused European-style boxer, right? So he doesn't really have a punch. So Conor might have a chance, but to be honest, I really, really do not rate Conor Benn, right? I don't even rate him at a British level, Cam, honestly.
Bro, I don't think his dad rates him, but he's his son, so he has to.
Yeah, but if you objectively, right, like you follow British boxing for many years, would you put money on him winning a legit British title? Not a bullshit one, a legit. I think he would struggle.
A British title?
A British title. A legit one, eh? No, not some bullshit fucking, like a legit level British champion.
He would be a legit British champion for the British title.
Yeah, would you bet money on that he would?
Nah.
See, that's what I mean. I wouldn't either, man. He fucking went to war with a nobody from fucking France, man.
Yeah.
The guy who was basically a part-time boxer, you know, a dude we've probably seen walk in and out of the gym once in a while, pretty decent shape, but that's it. Like, with no record whatsoever. Conor Benn is shit. And unless he has drastically improved, I don't think he can hang with that guy. He'll get outboxed.
Do you think Formella might try and take him into the later rounds and tire him out?
No, I think we know what Formella is going to do. Formella is just going to try to box his head off. Jab, 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 right hand, jab, right hand. That's what it's going to be, high guard. Very simple. But if you do it well, you can beat a guy who's not even fucking British level, right? Dude, what the fuck is Conor Benn going to do? Like, he's not some power puncher. He isn't.
Bro, I'm waiting for the day that Sky Sports stop using the term learning on the job every time he fights, man, because that shit's just got old now. It's like, you decided not to go the amateur route because you knew he wasn't that good. He'll get too many losses and it'll be hard to turn pro. So you turned him pro early and you've just baby-fed him slowly, 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 weak opponents. And it's time for him to sink or swim, man. Like, I'd rather decent fighters get airtime rather than Conor Benn getting these fucking fights, even though he's not that good and he doesn't really deserve them. But I've shit on Conor Benn many a time, so I think I'll call it a night.
I love how Sky justifies this, right? Like, in what other world is this a justification, right? If I tomorrow, like, join the fucking New England Patriots and I get my fucking shit hand pushed in, am I gonna be like, oh, I'm learning on the job, guys, it's okay? Like, or I'm gonna join a law firm and like lose millions of dollars. Oh, I'm learning on a job. This is never acceptable in any fucking situation. Like, you're shit, okay? You shouldn't be on TV. Period.
Can I ask you guys, how do you think the second lockdown will affect Conor Benn's preparation for the fight?
I don't think it does, because it's exactly the same. It'll be him doing like these combinations on Instagram, and it's the same preparation by himself.
I'm looking at this picture of Conor Benn. Fucking after YouTube, and both of his eyes are swelled up. He looks like a fucking alien. Have you guys seen this picture?
No.
No.
Oh my god, I'll send it in the fucking... I should post it in the YouTube live chat. It is so fun, dude.
Wait, are we live on YouTube right now?
We are.
Dude, I just realized. So funny.
Conor Benn has a YouTube channel, and like his latest video is titled Words of Wisdom.
Oh yeah, I think Kimo subscribed to that channel.
Shit, I forgot to retweet our fucking channel.
This picture of Conor Benn is hilarious. It looks like he's got stung by like 40 bees in both eyes. Alright, one second. Let me post it on the live chat right now.
Alright, let's move on. We touched upon it.
Let's start wrapping this shit up, guys. It's 2:30 a.m. here.
Yeah, we touched upon it before, but Ryan Garcia, Luke Campbell, your favorite fighter, Kimo, what do you think?
I'm not a fan of Ryan Garcia. I don't know why you guys think that.
I'm talking about Luke Campbell, bro.
Oh, sorry. Fuck Luke Campbell. as Hamada said, he's a fucking fencer, man. He doesn't know how to fight. But
you think Ryan will look good and stop him, or just look good and go the distance? Or
no,
maybe?
To be honest, I don't think he's gonna look good. It's hard to look good against Luke Campbell. He's such a stinker. He's such a passive fighter. You know, it's really hard to look good against him. Mm. And I don't know. This could be a
banana fight.
Could be a bit banana of a trap skin. for Ryan Garcia, man. He might lose this fight.
I think, I don't know. It intrigues me. I'm actually looking forward to this because it'll tell us a lot about Ryan Garcia.
It'll tell us whether he can deal with a nuisance, right?
Yeah.
Not some fucking come forward Mexican cab driver that he looks spectacular against with a beautiful left hook. This is not a guy you can just knock out because he's just so difficult to deal with, right? He's rangy. He's always moving on the back foot. Not particular great defense, but he's just difficult to deal with. So it will tell us a lot about Garcia.
What do you think, Lemmy?
Yeah, I think Kimo said it perfectly. It's good matchmaking because, never mind. He said it okay. He said it decently. It's one of those fights where it's like if Ryan wins decisively, you know he's a good, you know he's at least a competent, like, I would say a good fighter. Because I think Luke Campbell's a good fighter. If he can beat Luke Campbell, then he's a good fighter. But can he perform against power heavy hitters? Like Tank, like Teofimo, or I guess he at that level? No, it won't reveal anything about that. But I think it's really good matchmaking by Golden Boy, because it'll be credible. Obviously, with Lomachenko fighting Campbell recently, I think it'll be positive for his resume. But it also raises concerns on, like, what do you do with Garcia afterwards? Because, like, if you can beat a guy like Campbell, then what other opponents are there for them to match him up against? And because he is so young, like, I just think he's really vulnerable if he decides to move up in competition. Like, I personally wanted him to fight Linares, because remember they were floating around that fight after Garcia's last fight.
I was hyped about that fight.
Yeah, me too, because Linares always presents you the dangers of getting knocked out.
Yeah.
So.
And he's a guy you could possibly knock out as well, so it's kind of like double danger.
How's Campbell's chin?
It's not that great, to be honest. He's been dropped quite a few often.
Okay. Yeah, he looks like he doesn't have a chin, so that doesn't surprise me.
He's got no legs either.
Cool.
All right. AJ versus Pulev fight that's kind of been pushed back, and eventually it's going to happen on December 12th. I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really hyped about this fight. I think it's
anticlimax.
Yeah, it's been in the making for so long. It's just like, I want it to get over with so we can maybe get AJ against Fury or some other shit popping off.
Pulev is 39 years old, man.
I hope AJ just deals with him quick, man. Two rounds, KO. Good night.
The only good thing he did was,
touch up that Asian chick.
With Heather Yee? Helen Yee?
Was it Helen Yee? No, it wasn't Helen Yee, bro.
Yeah, it was.
Wait, who's Helen Yee? Is that the Schmo's girlfriend, or is that somebody else?
Oh, that's the Asian girl that Pulev touched up.
No, it wasn't Helen Yee. Hang on. Pulev reporter. Reporting!
Kimo's Googling it.
Yeah, so nothing else for me, Cam. But like you, I want to see Fury versus AJ by the end of the year.
I want to see AJ versus WK rematch.
No, limit was Sushi or whatever her name is. Jenny Ravallo Sushi.
Oh.
It wasn't Helen Yee, bro. That would be terrible. Helen Yee is a good girl.
I see Asian girls like those, that reporter, it just makes me think about their parents. and
how disappointed they are.
They must be of their child, of their children.
Don't speak.
This fucking woman has a business of like selling sushi on her body.
She should just be a porn star at that point because she's the same. Well, it's the same thing.
One of the same.
You seriously?
Yeah, and then files a lawsuit about how she's so traumatized that he kissed her. Get the fuck out of here.
All right. Kimo kind of mentioned Jacobs versus Rosario.
I love how you cut me off when I start getting a little controversial.
You get a bit sexual. Yeah, it's not a good look. But yeah.
That wasn't sexual. Dude, you talk about whacking off after Dillian White got knocked out and you're complaining about what I said?
I didn't say that.
You did say that, you fucking perv.
That was Lim.
No, that was me, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say it was one of yous anyway, but yeah. I'm not too hyped about Jacobs versus Rosado.
Shit, yo, really?
It's an understatement. Thanks, Captain.
What a trash fucking fight. Can I just say that?
Yeah.
Terrible. You should all be ashamed of yourselves. And anybody that goes on Twitter and says like, oh, Rosado the Warrior gets another chance, go fuck yourself. How about that? Continue, Cam.
We talked about this, I think, in the last show we did like 2 years ago, that Joe Joyce versus Daniel Dubois, it was supposed to happen in April, I think. It got pushed back to maybe July, then got obviously cancelled again. So it's finally happening, November 28th in London. I'll just quickly go over what I said last time. I favour Dubois. I think it'll be a good fight. It's toughest test so far, but probably 12-round unanimous decision. You want to add anything? If not, we'll move on.
Nope.
Dubois getting it.
You hate Dubois for some reason. I don't know why.
Why a decision? I would see him either get KO or lose.
Joyce has got a pretty good chin.
Why does Joe Joyce always look like he's got eyeliner on?
What else have we got that I want to touch upon? Another shit fight I want to shit on for 2 seconds is Billy Joe Saunders versus Martin Murray on 4th of December in London.
Are you serious?
What is a shite fight, mate. Horrible.
Cam, I've been waiting all show to use it, but you know what I'm going to say, right?
You would rather, eat dog shit.
Yes. Off the street, eh? Let's make this be clear. Dude, Billy Joe Saunders is fighting Martin Murray. How is that even sanctioned?
Well, this... sorry, Lim.
Martin Murray.
Is he the guy that fought Golovkin?
Yeah, exactly. Wasn't he retired?
This fight was supposed to happen a couple of years ago, I think. Or it might have been early this year, and it kept getting pushed back because Billy Joe kept getting injured or some shit, and then it just got cancelled. And then Eddie Hearn decided to put it back together. It's a fucking horrible fight, man. Like, anyway,
that's crazy, man. I'm watching Joe Joyce fight Brian Jennings right now as we speak.
I think he lost that fight. I thought Jennings won, you know.
Joe Joyce is shit, mate.
A fight that I was looking forward to is now off. I think Bichel contracted the COVID, and the fight with Oscar Valdez is off. So that's a shame.
God. That's crazy, man.
Kimo on the Joshua undercard. You got Okoli, your favorite fighter, versus Christoph Glowacki. What do you think about that,
dude? That's my favorite fighter.
Okoli
and Isaac Chamberlain, those are two of my two boys.
You're just never gonna let that go.
They're just two like tall fucking cruiserweights, kind of have the same body build. They just are kind of shitty fighters.
Yeah, but apart from that, I'm done, guys. So should we call it a night?
I honestly like Lawrence Okoli might have the worst hooks in boxing. It's him or Alvarado.
I think he's got the worst everything.
He's just so terrible, bro.
If he beats Glowacki, though, and becomes a world champion, man, like, I'd just be depressed.
The way, you know, he throws a hook with like a, you were talking before about Tyson Fury with an open glove, like, he literally throws it like he's not even trying to make a fist. It's just fucking weird, man.
I actually feel bad for Shane McGuigan having to train this dude, because McGuigan's got no one decent left. Like, he has to train fucking
Lawrence Yeah, Coley. Josh Taylor's with, dude, we didn't talk about the Josh Taylor versus the TIE fighter. We never ran it about the belt organizations, Ken.
Go ahead, have your rant then.
Yeah, you know how, like, you always like to defend the IBF, and even I think the IBF is probably the best organization of the four. But that's like comparing dog shit to human shit. Like, they all suck. Just what happens. So the IBF is like fucking shite, mate, too. Like, how are you going to have mandatory fights between Josh Taylor and some fucking, like, Thai tuk-tuk driver? It's like, it's fucking bullshit, man.
All right, Lynn, can I put it to you? If you decided to purchase a home on a mortgage and you've paid off your monthlies for 35 years... At the end, you expect to own the house, yeah? What if they said, you know what? You don't own the house. Fuck you.
Dude.
Yeah, it's
Lynn fair, is a real estate mogul, man. Can't, this is the wrong question to ask.
Yeah, but still, it's the difference is that I get your point in that you get a guarantee in that scenario. So you're probably arguing that if you're in the IPF, you're going to get your mandatory shot at some point.
Well, yeah, you are paying your sanctioning fee, so you deserve to eventually get a shot at the title.
What I'm going
to
say is the WBC is like, sure, you might get fucked in the ass and not, you might not get the house at the end, but you still get, you still have like a small percentage of the bank just somehow deciding, oh, we'll just give you like a $5 million mansion that's 10 times worth of property value instead every now and then. And what I mean by that is the WBC, they just give you better fights, even though it's unfair. So like I said, they're both pretty shitty propositions. But at least with the WBC, you get the higher, like the bigger fights. Whereas the IBF, you just get like these fucking fights that nobody ever asked for. But like fucking my boy Caleb Plant versus some random German dude that nobody's ever fucking heard of. Like who the fuck is asking for that bullshit?
You say that, but the WBC don't always deliver, bro. Like, you're saying it like every time they come up with a good...
I said every now and then. I said once in a blue moon they do. So, you have with the WBC, when the fights are good, they're generally pretty good. But then obviously they're very corrupt. And they hand out paper champ, you know, email belts like to David Haney. So, they both suck, man. I'm just saying, like,
yeah, exactly. This is a useless argument.
Just don't try to flout the IBF as some good organization, man, because they suck ass too.
That is just Cam. Cam's got this IBF fetish. But like you said, it's comparing dog shit to human shit to fucking ski mask Joe shit after a burrito binge. Like, it's just all crap.
Chemo would rather eat human shit off the street.
Yeah, well, who would shit on the street?
Ski mask Joe. Ski mask.
He probably would if he's really drunk. That's why he wears that tracksuit, you know, he can easily just make room and do it.
Alright, we're hitting 3 hours, anything else?
No.
I think it's been a very engaging and solid conversation.
Should we make a promise that we're going to try and do one once a month?
Yeah, and to be fair to us, it's been a fucking pandemic, right? So there hasn't been a lot going on, and now we're slowly picking up momentum, you know?
Yeah.
There's great things happening, especially for Matt Fraser. So,
hopefully we get a new president here in America.
Yeah, maybe in 2 months, eh?
No.
All right.
It'll be tremendous. All right.
Cam cutting us off immediately. What have you got against, politics, Cam?
Because you were about to get into politics and I hate politics, so we'll call it a
night. We don't need to get into it. We're all on the same page.
All right, Kimo and Lim, thank you guys for jumping on with me. Thank you for the people that joined us in the YouTube chat and the people that download the show. We'll be back hopefully next month. Peace.
You just listened to the Boxing Coalition.
Oh, dude, man, I love boxing. I fucking love boxing.
A big shout out to the Boxing Coalition.
You're a newbie.
No, I ain't new, man.
If my fucking next door neighbour became the number one flymate in the world, you know what I'd do? I'd fucking walk past the cunt.
Derek, how you doing, bro?
I was physically burning you, blood.
I disagree.
First time I hear the show, man, it was fucking badass.
Vamos a Argentina, la concha de su madre.
I see the bomb in them.
I get home and she's like, what the fuck? Me and the kid are here. Why don't you get home and talk to us? I'm like, man, you guys don't know shit about boxing.
Kel,
How does it feel to be the new IBF champion?
Feels great. Feels great.
Do we really dive into the black hole right off the jump?
I think he's hiding glass.
Just to play devil's advocate.
You want one portion of crow or two portions of crow?
Give me two portions with a supersized fries and a large drink, please.
I can't stand you more. I'm Scottish.
Cringe sight.
But you won't rush Anthony fucking fat ass Joshua, would you?
He's not fat.
How about you tell us what you weighed for your final thoughts?
My weight?
Thank you for listening to the Boxing Coalition.